This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Eckert's Orchard. Nobody knows fresh peaches.
till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives and dies, breathes and stops? All this judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my tax and send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
Tupac, Liz Brown, my goodness, they take my taxes and can't feed me. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609, that would be my fax, and my toll free is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. More than 2/3 of the Army's National Guard's 34 brigades are not combat ready. Why? Because of equipment shortages that will cost up to $21 billion to correct. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about the ramifications of that. Because on a larger scale, I think that this says so much, but it also is an example of it's also an example of some things on a local level. 2/3 of the National Guard's 34 brigades are not combat ready, mostly because of equipment shortages that will cost up to $21 billion to correct. Think about all of the billions of dollars that have gone into this war. We might be up into the trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars that have gone into this war. All of the money that has been spent. You can take my taxes, but you can't feed me. You can take my money for the military and not arm them. There is, in chaos, there is profit. I've said it before. I'll say it again. In chaos, there is profit. Please understand that when you create such a chaotic environment, that's when devilish people do devilish things. And it's about the M-O-N-E-Y. It's about the M-O-N-E-Y. Tell me why our soldiers don't have flat jackets. When we have spent, millions of dollars. Please tell me why. Because in chaos, there is profit. Halliburton has walked over. Do you know that Halliburton has just finished a state-of-the-art prison at Guantanamo? State-of-the-art. Billions of dollars they've made off of the profit of war. And understand that this is a effort that not only cost us hundreds of millions of dollars and paid them tens of millions of dollars, made tens of millions of dollars for them. This is a prison that, according to the Supreme Court, is going to be illegal because of what we do to people in there. And it's only a prison that's going to house 125 people. How do you build a prison for that much money for that few people? When you steal. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine. I hear you speaking about the money that we need to spend on our military.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you talk about why don't they have this jacket, that jacket, and all that. What I'm looking at, we are too sophisticated. Our military are too sophisticated. Now, we over there in Iraq, they went in the war with any means necessary.
You mean the people that are fighting us?
The people that what?
The people that are fighting us?
That's right.
Okay.
See, we dropping $1 million, but I would like to know how much money have they spent. See, I look at this thing different. I mean, if you look at a military, they got a heck of a military and not breaking their country with spending money. How many flak jackets do those people have? How many Humvees do they have? How many million-dollar bombs are they dropping? They went in the war with any means necessary, with common sense. The enemy came to them. What they do, they blend in with the enemy, but they have different ideas.
Well, I think that yes, your observation is correct, but also you have to ask the question of, was our military sent to Iraq with the plan to win this war?
You were sent to a country that you knew nothing about, into the enemy's hand. And that was a disadvantage to you right there.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fundamentally at the beginning, Mac. I'm talking about at the beginning when our military was sent over there. Were they sent over there to win, or were they sent over there to cause chaos?
To cause chaos.
There you go. So that's another reason why they're losing the war, because there was no intention to win this war.
There wasn't no intention to win in this war. I mean,
they're fighting against people who have every intention of winning.
We spend too much money on dumb things. Now, I look at America. Just look at this country. We was attacked with box cutters and our own airplanes and brought America to his knees.
Well, that's what we've been told.
That's what we've been told. So somehow or another in our military, it needs reinviting or something, because we need to, you know, start fighting a war different, because the way we're fighting them, some of them shouldn't be fighting.
You know what the
first place.
Well, you know what the sad part is, Mac. We are fighting the war in exactly how they want us to fight the war.
To lose.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-0400, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. You know, John Dean just put out a book, and it's called Conservatives Without Conscience. And on the book cover is Tom DeLay, Bill Frist, Karl Rove, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and Condoleezza Rice. What a decadent and depraved administration that has no equal in U.S. history. And let's not forget that little May 1st, 2003 aircraft carrier ceremony. Mission accomplished. If Bush had read Dwight Eisenhower's memoirs, he stated, limited wars are impossible to win. But as Harry Truman said, all that's new is the history you don't know or you haven't read. Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. Get to me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Northbound 55 at 143 and Illinois Route 4 over on the east side. Look for an accident involving a tractor trailer near Edwardsville. Eastbound 70 at 94 and 5th Street. There's an accident. Right lane's blocked. Eastbound 70 at Bermuda. There's an accident there as well. Northbound 270 at 44. No problems reported. Eastbound 70 at 79 is on the move. Westbound 64. Westbound Kingbridge traffic. Westbound Eadbridge traffic. And northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you may see some delays basically due to the fact westbound 5570 onto the PSB, you've got road construction right lane, or left lane's closed, and traffic backed up to the Kingbridge exit right now. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Hot, partly sunny this morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, highs in the mid-90s. The heat index will be around 102. For this evening, cooler, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight, chance of showers with a low around 70. Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 90, and Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 84 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, indeed would you get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, your stove? Where would you get it? Well, your wife. Shoot, you'd be going down to Sears. That's right. You'd be going down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Look, they have the best prices in town. They have the best customer service, awesome customer service. I know you need a few things for your house. I know you need a few things for outside of your house. Where are you going to get them? Go on down to Sears and tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, treasurer.
Fill in 38.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me tonight at 7:05 after the news as we circle the bases right here on Radio 920. We'll get our roundtable panel together to talk about what's happening in the world of sports. It's going to be lively, and it goes in any direction, and that's what makes it fun. Make sure you listen to us tonight on Circle the Bases, 7:05 right here on Radio 920.
informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. We're going to have a full day today. We're going to have Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith this morning at 7, in just a few minutes, actually. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Justice for Reggie, and that's such an important show. We've got an incredible story to talk about the doctor that kills people in Missouri and his connection with Jane Nixon. I think you're going to want to hear the story. And what I think one of the things that's going to flow through our show today is Jane Nixon. There's some interesting, we have some interesting tidbits about Jane Nixon and some connections that you just really, you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. We have some rumors out there, too, some word on the street. And then in the last hour, we're going to interview candidate for the fourth senatorial district. Amber Boykins. We're going to talk to her. We're going to chat with her to give you an opportunity to hear and feel some of these candidates that are running out here. This election is amazing. I really would like for you all to pay attention to what happens this weekend, because there's going to be some clowning going on this weekend. Folks are going to lose their minds about winning elections. And if God has a sense of humor, it will be 115 degrees out there. And people will be challenged. I mean, the heat has taken has made an impact on the way that people have been campaigning. But pay attention to what people do this weekend. Prepare your own political philosophy. And if you want help in that, you need to come on down to the Urban Institute. If you need some help with your political development of your political philosophy, come on down to the Urban Institute on Saturday. Irene J. Smith and myself, we meet with you all. We all meet together. The address is 1020 North Taylor, and we are dissecting, going through this Urban Institute. It's amazing. The turnout, the work we get done is absolutely amazing. And so, watch this election stuff. I would love for you all to take some time just for your own information. I've been talking about this woman that's running for state representative. And I just can't get over the fact that Jay Nixon let this woman's name stay on the ballot. Colquitt is her name. And if you want to get some of the copies of some of the documents, why don't you go to colquittunfit.com. That's C-O-L-Q-U-I-T-T, unfit.com. That's amazing. I've never seen anybody like her before. And in the journals of politics, look at the people that are attaching themselves to her. And what's fascinating is that even the people that she lists as attaching themselves to her, they're not with her. But why would that be unexpected? Why would you have a list of people? Why would someone who has been convicted of lying to you? This woman had to pay a $3,000 fine, and she has other judgments against her out there for the same thing. She's been convicted of lying to you. So why shouldn't she lie about the endorsements that she has? Her endorsement sheet is full of people who ain't endorsing her. But why wouldn't she? She's a convicted liar, convicted of lying to you. She took an oath. She took an oath. Colquitt did. I have no outstanding campaign reports due. She's a liar. She received certified letters to tell her the opposite of that. She's a liar, but forgive me. I'm expressing surprise in my voice when I shouldn't be. She's a convicted liar, convicted of lying. Of course she's going to lie when the press asks her a question. The issue is, why? What kind of person would support her, and why? And I must say that money's a powerful thing. Money runs through so many people's campaign finance reports. I took a look at Rodney Hubbard's campaign finance reports. Do you know that All Children Matters has spent $34,000 on Rodney? $34,000 on him. $34,000 on Rodney. Dang. Nice money if you can get it. $34,000. $34,000. Oh. And those are that's what Sandy's trying to get. Sandy's trying to get that same money. She's trying to get that same voucher money. And we have to be so sophisticated. We have to be so diligent. We have to be so consistent on who we support. This woman is convicted of lying to you. She is convicted of lying to you. And you know how we know that it is true? Besides the conviction piece of it? She didn't even show up in court to say, she didn't even have the heart to show up in court and say, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. She didn't even show up for court. She got a default judgment. The judge says she's not even here to say no. Oh, I know she should be convicted of lying, and he did. He convicted her of lying. These are amazing times. And then we have in the senatorial race. I got some literature last night. It's not raining men, it's raining campaign literature. You open your door and all of this stuff pours through. Some of it poisonous, some of it is libelous. And none of it that I've received tells me anything that I want to know. There is one extraordinary lie, extraordinary thing from Jeff Smith, and we're going to share that with you on Eye on the Lou. You don't want to miss that. And also, please don't forget, this Saturday, I am going to be on a panel with the Missouri Black Expo, the UMSL lecture series, bringing into town Joseph Lowry. And we're going to have a discussion about the state of Black America, a panel discussion. I would love for all of you all to come out and be part of that. That's this Saturday from 3:30 to 6:30 at America Center, Missouri Black Expo. Please come out. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 6:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Bill Haas, and I'm asking for your vote in the Democratic primary for State Representative. For 8 years on the school board, I stood up for our children. Now I want to stand up for you in Jefferson City. My opponent Rodney is my friend, and I love him like a brother. But he's a dog on the issues. He votes like a bad Republican. Even the unions won't support him. He sponsored a bill to take money away from the St. Louis schools and give it to private schools. What's up with that? That's selling out our children. And if he's elected, he's probably going to help Slay try to take over the schools. So if you're a Democrat, I should be your candidate. And I need your help to get elected. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. I'll make you proud every day. And I'll never let anything bad happen to you. Go to my website, runbillrun.com, to volunteer, and punch 33 to vote for Bill. That's me, Bill Haas, Tuesday, August 8th. Paid for by Bill Haas for State Rep. Francine LeMond's Treasurer.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
This is Dave Francis inviting you to join me on the Dave Francis Show on 920 WGNU AM radio here in St. Louis. We're here to talk about the things that matter most to you.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative, 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th. Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Baile para que, baile musebetsi, baile para que, baile musebetsi, makanisi konando. Sapanta lenaga, akanisi kwanalo, mesapanta lenaga. Baile para que, baile
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. 200 missiles have hit Israel. Tell me again how remember the phrase, you know, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Grandpa, tell me how we're winning the war in Lebanon or in Iraq. Grandpa, tell me how we're winning the war. Hezbollah fired 200 rockets into Israel on Wednesday. Israeli troops are, if it's a ground war, Israel is not going to be ready for what they got coming. We have people that are fighting for their homeland. America wasn't ready for a ground war. How'd that work out? How'd the ground war work out for us in Iraq? How'd it work out for us? Okay, fair enough. And I would be remiss and I apologize. Let me just say this. I apologize for not being fair. When I raised the question of how that worked out for us, the ground war in Iraq, I should have said, it did work out for us. Over $3 a gallon for gas. I'm sorry. I won't overlook that anymore. I won't overlook that anymore. I won't overlook the fact that it has worked out for us. Ain't nobody buying no more new houses. It has worked out for us. Joblessness. It has worked out for us. No stinking raise in the minimum wage. In real terms, $4 and something an hour. It has worked out for us. Yeah, it has. College kids carrying hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt when they get out of school. It has worked out for us. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I wasn't fair. I wasn't fair. And I guess if I had better access to health care, maybe I would be able to have had more clarity with that. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. And what's the plan? What's Boy George's plan? Are they stuck on stupid or are they insane? I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. Are they stuck on stupid or are they insane? Or have we just demonstrated we ain't going to bust a grape when they do us wrong? George W. Bush is going on vacation while Lebanon is on fire. George W. Bush is going on vacation while Iraq is imploding. George W. Bush is going to kick it. Maybe he's going to go shoe shopping with Condi. Because she ain't over in the Middle East either. This is madness. This is madness. How do you go on vacation when they're pulling little dead Lebanese babies out of the rubble of their home? Maybe George is one of those people who say, well, at least they died with their mom and their daddy. Maybe that's part of their twisted foulness. Uh. And how in the name of God can you be doing God's work when you offer no protection to those that are bringing comfort and aid to innocents? Aid workers cannot get into Lebanon to help people, innocents, because Israel has said, you know what, we don't distinguish. Everybody's an enemy that ain't an Israeli. Jesus. Everybody's an enemy if you're not an Israeli. Jesus. On a mountain road just south of Tyree, Lebanon, a convoy of Lebanese villagers was fleeing north shortly after the war began. They had heard Israeli soldiers telling them to evacuate. Suddenly, a rocket struck a pickup truck full of people. 21 people were killed. Half of those 21 were babies. Israel said, yeah, look like rockets to me. Look like rockets to me. Those who survived said we were merely doing what they told us, what Israel told us to do. We were leaving. The house that they bombed in the village of Cana this week killed 29 people. How did we get to a place where we're fighting war, where we're saying, with a casualness that is bone chilling, that we said with a casualness that is bone chilling. Collateral damage. If it's okay for Israel to say collateral damage, why isn't it okay for our soldiers to say collateral? Oh, well, wait a minute. They do say collateral damage. How do we get to a place that is so easy to write off the cost of human life? This family that was killed on the mountaintops of Tyree, Lebanon. They had spent the morning of July 15th trying to figure out how to get away. They awoke to the sound of Israeli soldiers shouting through megaphones that they should evacuate because war was coming. A 77-year-old man was crying. He was trying to leave. His daughter said he was crying. And so a group of 100 and between 100 and 200 villagers left. And they were bombed like they were the devil themselves. It is the most wicked, twisted thing. Just think about it. You yell for everybody to leave. People do leave, and then you kill them. Like slaughtering. Like shooting fish in a barrel. And you know what I think? I think that there's more remorse for shooting fish in the barrel than there has been for these human beings. If you live in Lebanon, you must be Hezbollah. That's what it comes down to. If you live in Lebanon, you must be Hezbollah. And never mind that Hezbollah were elected into office, into their parliament, with a greater transparency than George W. Bush was. And they work with their legislators, other legislators, Christians, Sunnis alike, with a better spirit of bipartisanship than the Republicans work with the Democrats. My name is Liz Brown. Stay tuned for Eye on the Lou. Stay tuned for Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. Oh, we've got some Yaphet El Amin stuff to talk about. We have some Jeff Smith stuff to talk about. The racism. It's just profound. Just profound. The contempt. Listen, I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Chicago's clobbered by powerful thunderstorms this morning. 60-mile-an-hour winds, some flooding and tree damage reported in northern Illinois. In the northeast and mid-Atlantic region, it's hot again today. Cities are doing all they can to conserve power. Business owners like this restaurateur in New York City are pitching in by turning off some lights.
We all have to help. That's what we are here for. Everybody's got to do their part.
Forecasters say the crippling heat wave should start to break up tonight. Tropical Storm Chris has weakened a little more as it sweeps through the eastern Caribbean. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld answers Senate questions this morning about the war in Iraq.
Rumsfeld had been willing to talk to the Senate in a session closed to the public, but that brought complaints from senators who are hearing complaints about the war from their constituents. They want to ask some public questions about how it's going and when troops might come home. They said so. And Secretary Rumsfeld decided he could attend the open hearing today.
ABC's Steve Taylor in Washington. Pre-trial hearings resume tomorrow for the four U.S. soldiers accused of murdering Iraqi civilians. Private First Class Corey Claggett tells ABC News he feels awful about it.
I mean, I'm human. I'm not one of these people that go out and be like, oh, I killed someone. I still felt bad because I had to take two guys' lives. And that affected me more in my head because I'm a very caring person.
23 days after the Mideast conflict began, Hezbollah battered Israel today with a barrage of rockets. ABC's David Muir is in Kiryat Shmona, Israel.
The highest number of rockets fired into Israel since this war began, more than 200 in towns and villages across northern Israel. And also those rockets reached the furthest south that they've been, hitting the West Bank, and in many cases around northern Israel. They ignited fires, creating an extraordinary challenge for firefighters here trying to keep up with them.
David Muir reporting. This is ABC News.
I'm standing here on top of a mountain of multivitamins. Most of them are about the number of ingredients. Well, Centrum has news that'll topple that idea. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients like C, recharging E to optimize their antioxidant power. A complete formula with 8 interactive combinations that help your body get more out of Centrum. Just having a lot of ingredients isn't all it's cracked up to be. Centrum is balanced and complete from A to Zinc.
Rush into Office Depot today for our lowest prices of the season on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, a 10-pack of Office Depot pens or pencils are just 19 cents, and composition books are 2 for $1. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back-to-school deals. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
Actor and Oscar-winning director Mel Gibson is now formally charged with driving drunk late last week in Malibu.
Misdemeanor drunk driving means Gibson probably won't spend a day in court, and if he's found guilty, jail time is highly unlikely. For felony drunk driving charges, Gibson would have had to injure somebody.
We filed what we felt were the appropriate charges that we could prove in a court of law beyond a reasonable doubt.
Jan Robison at the L.A. County District Attorney's Office, the charges don't make any mention of anti-Semitic comments Gibson made while he was being arrested. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Financial markets will have more federal reports to consider today, including factory orders and initial jobless claims. Also, big retail chains release their July sales numbers today. Analysts are looking for modest increases. Walmart Stores is expected to report increases in its July sales of between 1 and 3%. I'm Clarissa Douglas. ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a small Illinois community is pulling together in the wake of a fatal home explosion that damaged several buildings and scattered debris over a four-block area yesterday. Carlinville Deputy City Clerk Dina Boston says area businesses and community organizations have opened their doors and their hearts to help their neighbors.
We are a small community and almost, you know, everyone knows everyone. But the town has really pulled themselves together, and it's been a community effort, to help with the situation.
The early morning blast left two people dead and three injured. The cause of the explosion is still being investigated. A suspect is being sought in a Jefferson County bank robbery. Investigators say a man robbed the Truman Bank in Imperial around noon yesterday. He's described as white, 40 to 50 years old, 5'10 to 5'11 with a medium build. He was last seen wearing a white t-shirt, light blue jeans, a tan fishing hat, and dark wraparound sunglasses, carrying a dark brown briefcase, and driving a white Chevy Cavalier with a temporary tag in the back window. Anyone with information is asked to call 314-231-4324 or 636-797-5513. The Missouri Mental Health Task Force will hold a public hearing today in St. Louis. The task force is holding a series of hearings across the state to take testimony on the safety of the mental health systems. This follows a similar series of hearings in May by the Mental Health Commission. This afternoon's hearing begins at 1:30 at the Metropolitan Psychiatric Center on Del Mar. Finally this hour, Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan supports India improving their nuclear technology. Carnahan voted last week in favor of the United States and India Nuclear Cooperation Promotion Act, which would allow the U.S. to share nuclear technology with India. Critics of the bill say there should be concern over India's refusal to sign the International Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Dodge dealer. With Dodge, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Dodge vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. Eastbound 70 at 94 and 5th Street, an accident. Right lane's blocked. Traffic's moving past the scene at this hour. Westbound 70 at Bermuda is closed due to an accident involving a tractor trailer that is on fire. Westbound traffic slows near Riverview, and eastbound traffic slows near 170. Westbound traffic is being detoured onto Lucas and Hunt. 270 in Chain of Rocks and Canal, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes, look for heavy congestion there. Westbound 270 from 255 into the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow this hour, basically due to the fact westbound 5570, they have paving operations going on, left lane's closed, and traffic slows near the exchange, so the King Bridge as well as the Eads Bridge are also tied up at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney's. What's inside the men's store, JCPenney? The best selection on Levi's jeans, and every pair is on sale. Like Levi's 527 boot cut, just $29.99. It's all inside JCPenney. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. hot. Partly sunny this morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers. High in the mid-90s, the heat index will be around 102 by late morning, early afternoon. For this evening, cooler, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight, chance of showers with a low around 70. Friday and Saturday, pretty much the same both days, partly cloudy with the highs in the mid to lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 84 degrees. Lambert Fields also reporting 84. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou with Liz Brown and Irene J. Smith. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of the sun.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knockdown dragouts at the...
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown, and I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
A little troubled, but I am certainly blessed to be here.
All right. Well, let's get started here. I think that it is a starting place since we are, this time next week, I guess we'll be talking about the election results.
Actually, this time next week, we'll be talking about the election results the day after the election.
Okay.
Because I won't be here.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't know. All right. Well, we will be talking about the election results. I think it's important that we remind people what some of the impact of literature and dissect some of the literature and talk about some of the things that the pieces that have gone out. And I kind of would like to start with this Jeff Smith piece this he's everywhere piece. It's really kind of, I would say that in modern times, it's one of the most racist pieces of literature that I have seen. No one is working harder for our community than Jeff Smith is. And you see all these little Jeff Smith with all of these little black faces, and what is interesting is he has a thing on the back, a quote from the St. Louis American, and I guess maybe this helps show that you are white, because this isn't a compliment. Progressives of any color or creed would have to admit ... that Smith has the sharpest progressive game in all of the state. What? The sharpest game in all of the state. I look at these pieces, and for me, as a person of African descent, it is so targeted and so insulting that for a white person to tell me that nobody is working in my community harder than this young white man. And I find that very insulting. And well, particularly since he's only been living in St. Louis for a very short period of time.
First of all, it's not only insulting, but it's not true. That's the one thing. Perhaps Jeff has played basketball up at Matthew Dickey's.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps he is a founder of Confluence Academy, which if you go on Desi's website, you would see is not a whole lot to be proud of.
Well, Diana Borisso, the acting superintendent, said just that they are not outperforming our schools. They're doing worse than the city of St. Louis schools. So you're perpetuating this lie. Mm-hmm. About the so you have a shiny new school. Is that all black people are entitled to?
But not only that. I mean, it's like this one elderly African American woman. He says he's got the guts to take on Blunts and the Republicans. You know, he lost his election to Carnahan,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he went back to Hanover. I don't know where he's been. You know, so, I guess he went somewhere teaching. Jeff Smith has not been out in our community fighting. It is an insult.
It is. He says nobody but this. Nobody's working harder than this white guy for our community.
You know,
I'm telling you, it's one of the most racist pieces of literature that I've ever seen.
I mean, Jeff Smith, where were you when they were closing schools in our community? The St. Louis public schools. Jeff Smith, where were you when they were closing hospitals when the North St. Louis does not have one hospital to service our community? Jeff Smith. Where were you when they was dismantling with your concept of racial cooperativeness, whatever that is? Where were you when the Democrats dismantled the most Democratic voting ward in the city of St. Louis?
We're taking
where
a break.
Where were you, Jeff Smith?
We're taking a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is Representative Amber Holly Boykins, candidate for State Senate 4th District. For 8 years, I have fought to protect funding for public education while sponsoring legislation that moves our district towards full accreditation. My strong commitment to our children has earned me the endorsement of AFT Local 420 Teachers Union and the Missouri Association of School Administrators. Other legislators sponsor legislation supporting charter schools and vouchers. I will continue to protect public education. August 8th, fill in number 26 for Amber Holly Boykins.
Paid for by Friends of Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the
engineer would move. Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're deciphering. We're taking a look at the campaign literature that's being put out by candidates. And we're talking about, of course, the fourth senatorial race. And Irene, off the air, you mentioned one more thing about this racist piece of literature.
To me, it's...
Wait a minute, let me bring people up to speed on this. This racist piece of literature that Jeff Smith put out, directed solely to black folks, and this line that I'm angered by. This really angers me. No one is working harder for our community than Jeff Smith. That means he's working harder than you. He's working harder than your mama. He's working harder than all of the black people that live in North St. Louis. That this white guy is coming to our, who doesn't live in our community. He's not elected to anything. He's working harder than all of us put together.
I'm serious. To me, it's classic white, liberal, paternalistic,
colonialistic stuff.
It's classic. It's like, you know, I admire black people, you know, but really, to do things, you really need to let me show you how to do it.
Well, you can't do it. The understanding is that I will always be able to do it better than you.
Exactly.
And then the twisted racism of it is that, and then give me credit for bothering with y'all at all.
I mean, and then the other thing is, you know, our community has struggled with this issue of police brutality. I've never heard Jeff Smith step forward to speak out against us not having local control of our police department, the brutality that has gone on. I've never seen him even trying to step up to even facilitate trying to bridge the relationship between the police department and the African American community. And particularly when you send out a piece that says no one is working harder for our community than Jeff Smith, obviously since every individual in the picture other than Jeff Smith is African American, and this is a targeted piece
to
North St. Louis.
To you, me, and every other person that look like us.
In the 4th Senatorial District, then, you know, he's talking about us. You know, he's talking about our community.
And the other piece of it is that what he is saying is that no matter how you feel about any of the black folks that are running for this race, Jeff Smith is saying that I have done more for your community, despite the fact that I've never been elected to crap. Okay, I haven't been elected to nothing. I've still done more for your community than all of the elected people that are running for this office.
You know, certainly the fact that he's never been elected is a critical piece. However, myself, I believe that there are individuals in our community who work very hard who have never been elected.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard out there in the streets, you know, with people, with young people, with seniors every day. Countless individuals who have worked far harder than a Jeff Smith, and they haven't been elected either. But for him to say, send literature.
To me, you know, to black folks.
That's an insult.
It is a racist insult, and it's a lie. It's a racist insult, and the contempt that he has for the community that Oh, and one of the things, okay, you're working hard for black folks. I looked at his campaign finance report, okay, $158,000, over $200,000 raised total. I went to the vendor list of his of how hard he working for black folks just to see if he's spending money out of that $200,000, is he spending money with black folks and black businesses? Not a damn dime. Not dying.
I mean, that's consistent with the Democratic Party.
But I'm just saying, in terms of how hard he's working for the black community, look like he's working real hard for the white community, because every dime that he has spent on his expenditures form goes straight to white folks. It's disgusting. It is absolutely, it's disgusting.
Classic
racist
white liberal paternalism.
Let's move on to some more literature that we have in front of us. Let's talk about this Yaphet El Amin piece and these other pieces in general. I talked to Amber Boykins yesterday and asked if she had sent out any literature, because I haven't received any. She said that other people have received some, but apparently the 27th Ward is the last ward to receive anything. Have you received any?
I haven't received any literature at my home.
Okay,
from
Amber.
Exactly.
I got two pieces from Yaphet yesterday, and one of them is just it's a fascinating piece, and it's a curious piece, and it's from my perspective, it's a little self-indulgent type of a piece.
Well, of course, if you're running for public office, it's going to be self-indulgent.
No. Not for my definition of self-indulgent.
Okay, so when you say self-indulgent, what do you mean?
I mean that there are, you could say, I'm as good as God running for office, okay? That's self-indulgent, and that's making the wrong comparison of yourself. When Jeff Smith runs for office,
okay,
and says,
okay, I got you.
So I'm looking at this piece, and knowing what I know about how this person got in the race in terms of staying in office for two terms and then stepping out to run for this race, and that the piece is called Walking in the Footsteps of Giants. For more than 40 years, these African American leaders aggressively pursued the causes of people within the 4th Senatorial District, advocated for fairness and equality for African Americans within the city of St. Louis and the Missouri legislature. We must continue with strong, effective, committed leadership. And then she has the pictures of all of these other people that had served the 4th Senatorial District. And then it ends with her picture. And I have to look at this in terms of the history of how it got us here. I was talking a lot about yesterday. The collectiveness that people need to be looking at before they decide to run for an office. Is this about the community or is this about you? And this piece of Yaphet's says to me, again, that it's all about her. She had the choice of looking at our community before deciding to step into this race of, can we continue the legacy of black folks in the 4th Senatorial District? What is the math of continuing the legacy of black folks in the senatorial seat in the 4th Senatorial District? And to me, you are not looking to continue the legacy of black folks in this race by stepping into a race where you didn't have to step into and running and creating the math that may very well continue to eliminate that presence of black folks in the 4th Senatorial District.
That's very true. You know, so I'm going to play a little devil's advocate.
Well, the devil don't need no advocate.
Devil don't need no advocate, because the devil advocates very hard for himself. People look at it from the standpoint, a lot of us have a political philosophy that includes the collective, okay? Some people say, you know, I'm an individual, I have a right to run for office, and that's what I'm doing. When you really look at this piece, and I haven't studied at least, you know, T.D. McNeil, Franklin Payne. I know a bit more about Gwen Giles and my former principal, Beaumont John Bass, and the things that they have done. Certainly, legislation was passed by them, and there was a lot of thought that went in them running, okay? I don't know totally the thought process of Yaffet running, but when you look at it in terms of the fact that she had, what, two more terms that she could run, she wasn't termed out, Amber was termed out, you look at the fact, and I want to double check because she indicates on here that she passed this House bill, and my research previously indicated that although she was co-sponsor of legislation, that there was no legislation that she, as the primary sponsor, and had ever passed.
And here's the piece that I have problems with. You can rest assured I will not miss critical votes leaving your community voiceless. Well, she was in St. Louis on the 11th of May, skinning and grinning with Kwaise and Fume, getting her picture taken when the voter ID bill was being voted on.
That's very true, but I think, you know...
And we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, there's an accident. Only the left lane is open as crews work to clean up an earlier tractor-trailer fire. Westbound 70 slows near Union. Traffic is being detoured on the Lucas and Hunt. Westbound 270 at the Canal Bridge and Tana Rocks Bridge, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic's back up through 255. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry and Graham Hanley, look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of Gravois all the way to either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes, expect congestion. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge and 255, look for very slow traffic there. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow, as well as the King Bridge and Eads Bridge, due to the fact that westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got road construction, and the far left lane is closed this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, hot, partly sunny this morning, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy by this afternoon. Chance of showers, high in the mid-90s. The heat index will be around 102 by early this afternoon. For this evening, cooler, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight. Chance of showers, low around 70. Friday and Saturday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy both days, highs in the 90s both days. Currently, we have 85 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 85 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith, and Liz Brown is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your lawnmowers, your tools, your DVD players, everything, anything that you need? Get your shop on. Get on down to Sears. That's right, Sears, where else? At Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you go there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for State Senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margo Deloge, Treasurer.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative, 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Do you think you've been discriminated against at work or when applying for a job? It's unlawful for an employer to harass you or treat you differently because of race, color, sex, national origin, age, religion, pregnancy, or disability. The law also protects you against retaliation for complaining about discrimination. Call the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission anytime, any day. 1-800-669-4000. Equality at work. Your right, EEOC's job.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Welcome back. And Irene, as we are deciphering the different pieces of campaign literature that's out here, we're looking at Yaphet El Amin's piece, Walking in the Footsteps of Giants. I have been looking at this race, and I know that I've been talking about this. I talked about this yesterday in terms of the concern that I have about how this race is being run between, I'm concerned about black folks, you know, and between Yaphet and Amber. And I guess the reason why, to me, it was so important to talk about this line, you can rest assured, in Yaphet's piece, you can rest assured that I will not miss critical votes, leaving our community voiceless. And then knowing that she missed that critical, truly, truly critical vote of the voter ID bill that's going to be so onerous and so wreck so much hardship in our community. It was important for me to talk about that because I'm hearing and I'm seeing attack ads from Yaphet to about Amber on this very issue, and from my perspective, it's troubling to see colleagues and sisters attacking another
Kind of race. Well, let me ask you this: what was troubling about her ad? Because I haven't heard it.
What was troubling about it there were two things. The ad itself was troubling, and then conversations that were had on the air that kind of enhanced what the ad was saying. And the aggressiveness of, there was the voice, there was the tone, and then there were the words of disqualifying this sister, and she's not qualified to be a senator because of these are the things that she does. There are ways to,
because she missed factually, Liz, Amber did miss a lot of votes.
And Amber's going to be on the show at 9 o'clock to talk
about. Now, despite having missed a lot of votes, she also has passed more legislation than Yaphet has.
And what I'm getting to is the tone of this and the need of this and the cost of the decision to pursue it in that way.
Oh, certainly.
You know, so that's I'm not talking about the factual piece of it, but when you have missed critical votes, it makes it even more interesting to me and problematic to me, and assessing a person under those circumstances seems more important.
Mm.
You know,
because, I mean, certainly the voter ID piece is a critical vote.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. But as we have said in the Institute, we also send our representatives to Jefferson City to represent us and to be available to vote when legislation comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly one being present for a vote is something that I think people should factor in,
mm-hmm.
and as well as their ability to pass legislation.
And also you have to look at why you missed the vote too, because I expect that I hear from Amber that one of the reasons why she missed so many votes is because they thought her mother was dying. So that's what I have been told, and that's what we're going to ask that question of her when she comes on the show on 9 o'clock. I know that Yaphet El Amin was at the Kwai Sayin Fume piece when she missed the voting right or the voting ID bill.
Okay. And that's important that we have explanation. That's why, again, it's so important that we do have the Institute, where we do have individuals who are looking at and analyzing what our legislators are doing.
Absolutely.
In Jefferson City, so that when it appears that someone is missing a lot of votes,
mm-hmm.
and you say, oh, wait a minute. You pick up the phone. You know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm seeing that you are missing a lot of votes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there may be a good explanation for it, because certainly as my mom was dying, and our responsibility is first to family and then to community. So that's going to be interesting. But I think that part of the analyzing the situation should also take into consideration when you're trying to get a promotion is your ability to pass key legislation that benefits our community.
And in the four years that Yaphet has been in office, I haven't been able to find a single piece of legislation that.
Well,
that has been
1946, she was the primary sponsor of, which is basically a reporting
mm-hmm.
requirement about children being
Did
absent
it pass?
From school. Absent from school. I was not able to find any other legislation that El Amin was the primary sponsor of that she passed.
Okay. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let's get to some of these callers out here. Carol.
Man.
Yes.
You know, Maida is my senator.
Okay.
And I can't vote in the fourth senatorial district.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me this with you and Irene. What was you all doing when you all was helping Jim Talon and Matt Blunt? Did you all care for the community when you did that?
What are you talking about? How did we help Jim Talon?
When you helped Matt Blunt, you and that no good Claire McCaslin, all of you all helped Matt Blunt cause all this suffering to go on in our community.
Okay.
You all was involved in that. Now, how
okay.
are you any better than Jeff Smith, Yaphet El Amin, and anybody else?
Okay, all right. Hold on for a second.
Hold on.
Let me start if you don't mind. One of the things that I'm most proud of, Carol, I am most proud of the fact that I looked racist, incompetent Bob Holden in the face. Bob Holden that has a record that is as long as the Mississippi River in terms of promotion of black people, advocacy of black people, laws put in place for black people, has a horrendous record with the black community. We as the community took over 300 people up to Jefferson City to tell Bob Holden, you've got to take away the permission that Bill Roberti was given. See, there had to be a waiver of superintendent's license given to Bill Roberti in order for him to sit in the superintendent's seat. We said, if you waive that, if you let him sit there, then our district will be destroyed. Bob Holden said, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to look into that. He never did that. And as a result of that, we're seeing the chaos that's in the St. Louis public schools. Because he didn't do that. Because he didn't do that, I felt that the thing that we need to do with politicians that hurt our community, we need to punish them and we need to put them out. So we began a campaign of bumping Bob Holden. Had to get Bob. Hold on. You asked for an explanation. You don't know everything about what's going on, and we're going to give you an explanation whether you want it or not. And the fact of the matter is that consistent with the policy, consistent with my belief, consistent with my concern about our community, we got rid of Bob Holden. That's something that nobody saw coming, nobody could have predicted, and it was a good thing for our community. Claire McCaskill was a better candidate than Bob Holden and a far better candidate than Matt Blunt. We advocated for Claire McCaskill. Claire McCaskill didn't win. Since when is it working with the enemy when you advocate for the Democratic candidate and the Democratic candidate loses?
And you know, the thing of it is that people, for whatever reason, I don't know why Carl is calling in saying when we have Matt Blunt and Talon. I mean, you've had Talon on your show,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if I was Jim Talon whether I would come back.
Well, he won't, and he hasn't.
Because you asked some very piercing mm-hmm. and factual questions that were pertinent to our community. So, Carl, I think it's very unfortunate that you would call here either primed to do so or for whatever reason to make an allegation that is not based in fact at all.
We advocated for Claire McCaskill. How is that helping Matt Blunt? We kicked Bob Holden in the butt, and we advocated for Claire McCaskill. How is that helping Matt Blunt? That's insane. That's an illogical
position. Matt Blunt didn't even come to the city of St. Louis because he didn't think that it was worthwhile for him to even campaign here. If you have listened to this show and listened to us, you would know that we have not said very great things about Jim Talent. I try to be as objective as I can in my human frailty. Yes, there are some things that perhaps Talent has done to benefit our community, just as probably there were some things that maybe Bob Holden did to benefit our community. But since education was so key to our community, and knowing what Bob Holden had done relative to education, the fact that we lost accreditation points when Roberti was here, that placed us in the situation that we now find ourselves.
And we told them, don't do
that. And we said, don't do that. And so we were correct.
I'm proud of our record.
We were correct when we did that. The fact that some people want to wrap their arms around someone who comes and smiles in their face, and I'm speaking of Bob Holden, and you love him, that's your right to do so.
But don't
try to disseminate something that is not factually. I have never advocated for Matt Blunt, nor have I ever advocated for Jim Talent.
And neither have I. Uninformed folks. Listen, this is Liz Brown.
Do your homework. Don't let people just say things if perhaps you don't care for Liz and I, but do your homework. Think for yourself. You know, my grandmother told me something. There's one thing that no one can take from you. She told me, get an education, learn how to think for yourself, because that's the one thing white folks can't take from you. My sister, you need to learn how to think for yourself. Please get some information.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 7:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th. Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work.
To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
For the issues that matter most to you, huh? Of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, one of the things we wanted to talk about as we analyze this four senatorial race is, particularly as it pertains to Yaphet El-Amin, is this whole concentration of power piece. What is your assessment of, should we be concerned about this? Should we be concerned about a husband and a wife that are committee man, committee woman, state rep, and state senator?
I think we should be very concerned about it. The concentration of power, absolute power, corrupts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, because in our human context, when power is concentrated, people tend to become much more arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Less dependent.
Mm-hmm. Less accessible. Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be a critical mistake for individuals who live in the 4th Senatorial District and the 57th State Rep District to vote for both of the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, as I walk about and I talk to people, and I talked to one of my constituents yesterday, and she called me and she said, you know, I haven't been seeing you endorsing the El-Amins, and I told her that because I was not endorsing or supporting Yaphet or Talladega El-Amin. And she basically said, well, you know, you and Troop bought us Yaphet, and so I have some problems with her, but I'm going to vote for her, but I'm definitely not going to vote for her husband because I think that's too much power for one family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are looking at it that way. And I think that it will be demonstrated, of course, on Election Day. Some people don't even want to vote,
mm-hmm.
okay, or turned off by it,
mm-hmm.
do not want to vote.
And feel like this is public fighting and feel heart-sickened that they
Very
are being put in this position. I've talked to folks out there, out in the neighborhoods as well, and what I'm hearing from people is it seems wrong to me, it seems greedy to me that they would want it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was troubled. I had a conversation with Yaphet about this very issue. And I was troubled and I asked her, I said, there's a problem here with this concentration of power. And her response to me was really, it was problematic. She said, do you think it is fair for my husband's political ambitions for him to be punished because he's my husband? That he shouldn't be able to pursue his political ambitions because he's my husband.
Mm. Well, it goes back to what is your philosophical ideology political philosophical ideology? Is it about the collective? Is it about your individual right? And certainly, anybody has a right to run for elective office. That is your personal decision. But in so doing, should the circumstances under which you run be factored in terms of determining whether or not to vote for you? One of my little sisters has talked about this situation, and she feels very sickened about it. And, of course, she's not voting. One of them is not voting for either one of the El-Amins. And she said to me again last night, she said, it's like a bad novel.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, hurry up and end.
Mm.
You know, just hurry up and end. A lot of people are sinking by it. And like I said, some people think it's certainly all right. And as a friend of ours would say, you know, folks tend to draw the line closest to their feet. So they see it as okay. And certainly people have a right to run for elective office.
But that's why we have the Urban Institute, because we have to insist that people think beyond the line that's closest to their feet. That people think of the collective because every decision made in politics impacts the collective. You know, and it's just seems selfish to me and short-sighted and self-absorbed that you think it would be fair to the community that all roads stop at the El Amin's front door. And check this out. This is something that is not even considered. If there is a family emergency in the El Amin household, that means we're wiped off the map in terms of political representation. Because, as you said, family comes first. So who's going to be up in Jefferson City if there's a single family emergency that impacts the El Amin household? Aren't going to be any Senate votes. Aren't going to be any House votes. The committee womanship, you know, family comes first. So look at the vulnerable place that you're leaving us in as a community as you pursue your individual political ambition.
Right. So just as they have the individual right to make the decision to run, the question then becomes, and the responsibility on the part of the community is to determine whether or not, in light of this, whether or not these are the type of individuals you want us to be want to have represent you in Jefferson City. And I think that should factor in terms of determining whether or not you vote for the El Amin's mm-hmm. for their respective offices that they're running for.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let's get to some of our callers. Bob.
Yes. Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Ms. Irene J. Smith, this is directed to you. First of all, I'll make this real quick because I know it's almost time. When Liz is gone off the radio, we hop and jump when you're on the air. We love you. That's number one. Number two is, I want to thank you for being the Christian lady that you are, because that was a nice letter that you wrote back, that response letter that Liz wrote on the radio, yesterday. That was real Christian-like, and people need to follow your way, because, I mean, you're real. I would bet the farm. Now, like the Bible says, don't judge, but I would bet the farm on you. You're pure, and you're an awesome lady. And I want to just let you know that. Just keep being what you are, because your example, I'm sure God is smiling down on you right now with the angels, because you are doing what the Bible says to do, and you're on the air, and you're exploding it out. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks for your call. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. If I could just briefly respond to that, and we just have a little time left, I appreciate that. It is difficult attempting to walk the walk of Christianity or Islam or any other life that embraces a supreme God, particularly in politics. We don't always do the right things. We don't always say the right things, and that includes me. I don't always do or say the right things. But that situation with Sharon Tyus had reached a point, and I want you to know that writing that letter was one of the most difficult things that I've ever had to do. But because of the relentless just attacks on me, you know, and people calling saying, Irene, I know this isn't true. You know, I know that you continuously, you know, gave her credit for her part in the Walgreens project, and she's just assaulting you. Why would she do this? And I say to people in the 60th district, I believe that is something that you should factor in, because it is part of a person's character that you should consider whether or not this is the type of individual you want to represent, want to have represented in Jefferson City. The fact of the matter is, Sharon is a very bright individual. She has a lot to bring to the table. But as with anything, she also has a lot of baggage. And I believe that in light of the things that have unfolded over the last 4 years, that at this particular point in time, Sharon Tyus is not the person who should represent the 60th District in Jefferson City.
And let me get to some other callers here. Jasmine.
Yes?
Yes, you're on the air. Quickly, please.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air. Quickly, please.
Okay. Just wanted to make a comment about the information, the mailing that was sent out regarding Yathid El Amin
mm-hmm.
and the comment that you made being self-indulging.
Mm-hmm. Self-indulgent? Mm-hmm.
Self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
Self-indulgent. I have a problem sometimes enunciating my words.
Okay.
But I just don't feel that it is self-indulgent for someone to think about or to aspire to be something greater, you know, that they see has been in the community. I've been represented in a community.
I appreciate that, Jasmine, but we've got to go. We've got three other people. No, we don't have any time at all. Thanks for your comment. Next Tuesday is Election Day.
Yes, it is. Get out to vote. I know the weather is going to be, I think they're predicting 93, mm-hmm. which is a little cooler than it's been, you know, but it depends on the humidity. But don't let anything stop you from getting out to vote. Get out to vote.
Particularly with these issues that have to do with taxes.
Exactly.
If you don't vote for anything else, go out and vote no on these tax increases.
That's right. Come out to vote. I mean, our ancestors died so that we might have the right to vote, and you have a right and you have a responsibility to vote.
Absolutely. And again, say no on all of these tax increases. Irene, this time next week, it'll be over and done. What did your sister say? The bad novel will...
She said it's like a bad novel, and I'll be glad when it says the end.
All right, get out and vote on Tuesday. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Thank you, Irene J. Smith.
Thank you, Liz.
I'll be back. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who...
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. In about half an hour, the war in Iraq will be front and center on Capitol Hill.
The Senate Armed Services Committee holds a public hearing on the Iraq war today. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld will be there to testify. He initially said he'd skip the hearing and come to a closed meeting instead. He was heavily criticized by Democrats before he changed his mind.
ABC's Sonia Crawford. President Bush heads to his Texas ranch today for a shorter than usual vacation, 10 days instead of the full month. ABC's Ann Compton says one of Iraq's most vocal opponents will be just down the road.
President Bush has 1,600 acres to survey on his vacation. Cindy Sheehan now has 5. The mother of an Iraqi war casualty is buying a wooded lot in Crawford for her anti-war protests this summer.
The eastern U.S. will broil again today before the heat wave finally begins to break up tonight. It's been dangerous, not just uncomfortable. Michael Mansfield is assistant fire chief in Nashua, New Hampshire.
We've had some breathing distress calls increased, and we've seen an elevated increase in cardiac-related calls.
This New Yorker says just follow the hot weather rules.
This is really unbearable, but if you take it slow and drink a lot of water, you're good.
A trip to the beach sounds like a good cool down, but Nancy Stoner with the Natural Resources Defense Council warns America's beaches are filthy beyond belief.
People are swimming in bacteria, human, and animal waste.
Big news from Ford. The automaker is recalling more than a million trucks, vans, and SUVs because of the potential for engine fires. This is one of the biggest vehicle recalls in automotive history. And maybe you saw the video of it. Well, a British jockey is getting a one-day ban from London horse racing regulators for headbutting his thoroughbred before the start of a race. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting organized? Number three, the only space in my bedroom is on my bed, and I'm not giving that up. Number two, I should be able to fit at least one car in the two-car garage. And number one, getting organized just got a lot easier.
Organize your home for less at the Home Depot Summer Storage Event. From garage storage systems to adjustable bookshelves to the latest colorful totes and accessories, it's storage as decor at special prices. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba.
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
What's the difference if your surgeon removes your appendix at 8 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon? Well, a study out of Duke University Medical Center says, believe it or not, the difference could affect the surgery outcome.
Researchers studied 90,000 surgeries and found that most adverse effects from anesthesia occurred in surgeries that started later in the day. The study shows you're least likely to have an adverse effect if your surgery starts at 9 a.m. and most likely to suffer harm if your surgery starts at 4 in the afternoon. Healthcare workers take the blame for errors. It's not too surprising, though. Few of us are at our best at the end of our shifts. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
There's a battle brewing in Boston over the official state sport. A bill on the governor's desk declares basketball to be the game, but Red Sox fans are crying foul. Governor Mitt Romney says he plans to sign the bill, and no matter, he is a Red Sox season ticket holder. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a suspect is in custody on charges of setting a North St. Louis fire that sent three people to the hospital. Police say 46-year-old Daryl Johnson poured flammable liquid in two rooms of a home in the 5200 block of Maffitt early Tuesday morning and then set the home on fire. Johnson is charged with first-degree arson and first-degree burglary. The mother of one of the children who drowned last month at Castlewood State Park is going to court. Angela Washington has filed a wrongful death suit against Joyce Meyer Ministries, which operates the St. Louis Dream Center. Washington is the mother of 16-year-old DeAndre Sherman, who drowned in the Merrimack River along with four other children on July 9th during an outing with the Dream Center. Finally this hour, Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan wants Big Oil to pay up. Carnahan introduced a bill last week that he says would cut breaks given to oil companies and provide immediate relief for consumers. Carnahan says people are tired of the inaction and empty words in Washington.
They're also tired of seeing the record profit-taking by oil companies and record golden parachutes for oil company executives. And they're doing that at the expense of American families and American businesses.
The legislation calls for the repeal of subsidies and fee waivers to oil companies totaling about $30 billion to invest in renewable fuels. The bill also imposes a windfall profits tax on oil companies during periods when crude oil prices exceed $40 a barrel, which Carnahan says would lower gas prices 10 cents a gallon and maintain road construction. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Store Shiloh Grand Opening. Right now, Ashley Furniture Home Store is celebrating the grand opening of its Shiloh, Illinois location with no interest until 2008. See store for details, Kirkwood, South County, O'Fallon, Missouri, and now Shiloh. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 70 at Bermuda is closed due to an accident. Crews are working to clean up an earlier tractor-trailer fire. Traffic jams near Union. Traffic is being diverted onto Lucas and Hunt. Westbound 270 from West Florissant to 170. Look for congestion there. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Marshall. Slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers, expect congestion going on there as well. Westbound 270 from 255 to Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident on the Canal Bridge. Northbound 141 is stop and go after a mile after 44 due to an earlier accident. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are delayed at this hour, basically due to road construction. It's paving on Poplar Street Bridge. Left lane is closed. The traffic's back up through 3rd Street, so expect delays on the Eads, on the King, as well as on the PSB. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Hot, partly sunny this morning, partly to mostly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of showers, high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to be around 102 by early this afternoon. This evening, cooler, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight. Chance of showers, low around 70. Friday and Saturday, same both days. Partly cloudy both days with a high in the lower to mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
You know, you feel like a prophet sometimes. You feel like a prophet sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
And I keep telling people it's not because I'm all that smart. It's just that you just continue to follow. First of all, you look at the history, and then you just start to project because there's a certain trajectory that people and events are already on. And all you have to do is to wait. And sometimes you hope you can intercept knowing what the end result is going to be.
Like when we went up to Jefferson City to tell Holden that you better not give this waiver of superintendent's license to Bill Roberti because he will trash our district. Simple, wasn't it?
Right. And it seems like it's prophetic, but if you looked at the Roberti, his character, where he came from, how much money he was going to get paid, where he was going to go after he left here, it was pretty obvious that nothing good was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and I'm reminded of a line from one of my favorite movies, Blade. He's outside waiting for this cop to go and do something, and this woman that is with him says, you know, he's not going to be that stupid. And Blade said, if once you know the character of a thing, then you know what it is capable of.
Mm.
And once you know the character of the individuals that you're dealing with, you can project out what's going to happen. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth or the specifics behind the person, the doctor, hear the quotations around my around it, doctor that was that has executed people here in the state of Missouri. And turns out turns out that he's everything that you said that he had to be.
Yeah, and actually worse, because I think this is probably the sanitized version that we're getting. And the fact that you had officials of the highest level in the state trying to protect his identity means that there's probably more.
And everything is about politics. Why is Jay Nixon trying to protect the identity of this person? Is it to keep us from him, or is it to keep us from keeping Jay Nixon from getting a job advancement, because Jay's trying to be governor?
Actually, I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's both, because for a person like this to be operating means that a number of people knew and signed off on him. So they're all responsible for what has happened in the state of Missouri, including Jay Nixon, who actually signed off on his working, but also he worked real hard to keep his identity from becoming public. So Jay Nixon was very much aware of this person's past. And in spite of that, and despite that, he continued to let him supervise executions in Missouri. And
can we also maybe broaden the theory of why Jay Nixon did this too? Also, maybe the way he looks at black folks and where the way he looks at people, because could you make the argument, Jamala, that he didn't care? I mean, just like Nels Moss didn't care about lying on Reggie Clemens and cheating and being dishonest to the jury and breaking the law in the prosecution of Reginald Clemens. Jay Nixon doesn't care. I mean, every person that's executed from his perspective is another point towards job advancement.
Absolutely. And just to back up a little bit and let your listeners know what we're talking about, we are talking about the lethal injection challenge, and we've talked about it before on the show. In fact, last week had Reggie's attorneys talk about it. We've also had John Simon, who was Michael Taylor's attorney, come on the show and talk about it. But now we're finding out that the doctor who administered the drug is dyslexic. We found that out through the deposition. But now we find out this man has a history of malpractice, of being cited for numerous violations, medical violations.
He can't practice medicine.
He cannot even practice medicines in allegedly one of the hospitals that he started.
Mm.
They don't even want him there. So this is masking a horrifying situation that's going to have huge implications here in Missouri.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson. My life has been a pattern of challenges and historic firsts. You trusted me for years to make progressive decisions for you in University City. And then, as your State Representative in Jefferson City, I know what it means to work to make a difference. I know when the time has come to make a change for the better. On Tuesday, August the 8th, I ask for your support of Sandy Colquitt as State Representative of the 72nd District. Sandy has shown that she cares about people and will work hard to make health care and education her number one priority. I need your help and your vote for Sandy Colquitt on August the 8th. Let's make a positive change and make Sandy Colquitt your next state representative for the 72nd District. This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson, and it's time to start thinking about tomorrow.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
This is Bill Haas, and I'm asking for your vote in the Democratic primary for State Representative. For 8 years on the school board, I stood up for our children. Now I want to stand up for you in Jefferson City. I stand for the same values you do. Health care, senior citizens, tax relief, Medicaid, minimum wage, daycare, stopping racial profiling, and fair funding for Harris Stowe, where I teach. My opponent Rodney is my friend, and I love him like a brother. But he's a dog on the issues. He votes like a bad Republican. Even the unions won't support him. So if you're a Democrat, I should be your candidate. And I need your help to get elected. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. I'll make you proud every day, and I'll never let anything bad happen to you. Go to my website, runbillrun.com, to volunteer, and punch 33 to vote for Bill. That's me, Bill Haas, Tuesday, August 8th. Paid for by Bill Haas for State Rep. Francine Lamond's Treasurer.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Awenafu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Awenafu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Awenafu.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. And I also want to take some time right now to thank our sponsors, Bishop Ward and Church of God in Christ, one of our sponsors for the Justice for Reggie Thursday, also Lane Tabernacle Church, Reverend Morrison, also one of our sponsors. So thank you all for sponsoring this and making certain and making it possible that Justice for Reggie is here every Thursday. We appreciate you. So let's talk about it, Jamala. We're talking about a connection of Jay Nixon to this issue of a Dr. Alan Dorhoff, 62 years old. Missouri hospitals won't let him practice within their walls, but yet he's in charge of executions in the state of Missouri.
And he's actually been sued for malpractice more than 20 times. I mean, I think that's pretty phenomenal. When you look at the fact that there are some doctors who have practiced for about that long and have never had a malpractice suit. So here's somebody that not only has had malpractice because he's dyslexic, because can you imagine, I'm surprised it's not more, because if you are operating on somebody, and this was somebody that was actually doing surgery inside the prison, and we know how botched up those surgeries often are, at least I do, it's not surprising that there would be a lawsuit from somebody who says her nerve endings are still painful, still after surgery, because here's somebody who can't see completely straight, who's mixing up medication wrongfully. And so to have this many malpractice suits is pretty consistent,
and also it gets to when you see that it is acceptable for someone like Dr. Alan Dorhoff to be within the prison system, when you see that it is acceptable for people to be butchered while within the prison walls, you have to ask yourself the question of what type of human being do we have that feels comfortable with that. With respect to Jane Nixon, Dr. Alan Dorhoff was publicly reprimanded by the State Board of Healing Arts for failing to disclose malpractice suits to a hospital where he was treating patients. Now, his reprimand was signed off on by Jay Nixon's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Jay Nixon.
Jay Nixon.
Okay. And now Jay Nixon is saying, well, the Department of Corrections hired him. You signed off on this. Not only has this person was reprimanded for failing to disclose malpractice suits, but also we find out that he lied under oath.
Several times
under oath. So we have this dyslexic liar doctor that can't practice within the halls of any hospital in the state of Missouri, and I submit in any state in the union, and he's the guy that's in charge of determining whether or not the practices used in the execution are going to be the correct ones.
And I think people ought to be really concerned when folks whose job it is, particularly if they're elected officials, their job is to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they have to walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Jay Nixon, who's the Attorney General, which is the highest law enforcer in the state, signing off on the discipline and then fighting to keep this man's identity secret. So at any point of time during this man's career with the Department of Corrections,
and
it's been extensive.
Lifelong, even.
It's been extensive, and not only for him, but for his family, because
mm-hmm.
his brother was actually doing surgeries, too, for the prison. And
family business.
Yeah. So they made it a family business to do medical...
To experiment with him all.
Pretty much experimenting, because they couldn't practice anywhere else. But I think for Jay Nixon, under his reign, could have done something differently with the situation.
Well, should have. He's the chief law enforcement officer in the state of Missouri.
But instead chose to conceal, lie, and cover for this man. So to me, he's just as culpable as the person. And so when you get to talk about, you know, complicity with crime, he certainly ought to be right up there getting the same kind of heat that Dorhoff is getting.
And we also have to ask ourselves, because Jay Nixon is coming for a job promotion. He wants to be governor of the state of Missouri. And the idea that the chief law enforcement officer would cover up forcefully cover up the identity of a doctor who everybody should know his name. In the interest of health care, in the interest of, I mean, there are people out there that probably have been operated on by this person who didn't know that this has happened to this person and who could benefit by knowing about Dr. Alan Dorhoff. For Jay Nixon to cover up that information, either because he didn't care or because he's trying to get a job promotion, everybody in the state of Missouri should be chilled to the bone about what on earth would you do as governor, what would you cover up as governor to protect yourself.
What were you saying about the character?
That's
of
right.
A person?
Once you know a character of a thing, then you know what it is capable of.
So I think we can see what Jay Nixon is capable of, and this is just one of many, many examples of his character. But I think, you know, because it is the prison system
mm-hmm.
that somehow that is supposed to lessen the critical importance of this kind of wrongdoing.
Or the humanity of it.
Mm-hmm. And Vera Thomas, Reggie's mother, and I were talking to a class at Washington University that the class is about families of incarcerated. And we were talking about this case. And most of the students found it very hard to believe that this doctor had been able to operate in that way. And that was even before we knew about this expose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that Sunday when they opened up the Post-Dispatch and saw the history and they sort of delineated by year, that they were had to be even more shocked. But one of the things I pointed out to them is that for a large number of our society, what happens inside prisons, it's kind of like Las Vegas. What happens here stays here.
Mm.
And most of us don't want to know what goes on in there. Most of us don't want to hear what goes in there. And then there's a sector who truly believe that the people who are in there because they're supposed to be in there.
And they deserve whatever happens.
And they deserve whatever happens to them.
You shouldn't have done anything
wrong.
Yeah.
And so my response to that always is, yeah, but these are your tax dollars, and you need to know how they're being used. So for Dr. Death, he was getting about $2,000 a pop for execution. That's our tax dollars that are paying him to do the misdeeds that he's doing. It's our tax dollars that's paying Jay Nixon. So is that the way that we want our hard-earned money to be used?
And I also challenge people on their concept of their own humanity. How can you be comfortable as a human being to know that there are other human beings, irrespective of what they have done? Was it appropriate for Hitler to experiment on Jews? Was it appropriate for white racists to experiment on people that were enslaved? It is never, no matter who or where they are, if you're going to claim that you are a person that has humanity, it should bother you to the core that we have the chief law enforcement official in the state of Missouri covering up so that Dr. Death, his reputation is protected.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we have to take a break. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local Jeep dealer. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, the accident only in left lane is getting by. Crews are working, cleaning up a tractor-trailer fire, and traffic jams through Union. Traffic's being detoured on Lucas and Hunt. I-55 at Highway 3, there's an accident reported around DuPont. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic's easing. Eastbound 40 at 141 and Mason, look for traffic to be easing there as well. Northbound 141 is stop-and-go traffic for about a mile, approaching 44 after an earlier accident. Traffic is easing by slowly at this hour. All your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays, basically due to the fact that paving operations have one lane closed at the far left lane on the Poplar Street Bridge, and traffic is backing up into Illinois. That is a look at your traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience the American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Partly sunny in the morning and early afternoon, becoming mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high in the mid-90s. The heat index will reach around 102 by early this afternoon. This evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, partly cloudy overnight, 30% chance of showers, low around 70. Friday and Saturday, look forward to the same, partly cloudy both days with a high in the mid-90s both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 84 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. It's Justice for Reggie. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
website.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. And before we continue, I want to remind everybody that I am going to be part of a panel discussion, the State of Black America, at the Missouri Black Expo this weekend from 3:30 to 6:30. This is the University of Missouri Lecture Series. Reverend Joseph Lowry will be the keynote speaker at that event. There will be a panel discussion of all kinds of folks to talk about the issues that confront our community. Come on out. It's going to be a spirited discussion. There's going to be Reverend Sammy Jones is going to be there. Freeman Bosley is going to be. We're going to have some conversation. So come on out this Saturday. For more information, call the Missouri Black Expo, and it's this Saturday from 3:30 to 6:30 at America Center downtown. Come on out. Now, let's get back to our discussion here, Jamala.
And I just want to say, if callers have any questions about the Reggie Clemens case, because we have a little time this time since we don't have a guest to entertain those questions, please call in. But we were going to get to some of the chronology,
yes,
of this man's dastardly deeds.
And for those of you that may have just joined us, we're talking about Dr. Alan Dorhoff. He's the doctor that supervised, basically, almost from its inception, the execution of people in the state of Missouri. And it turns out that that two Missouri hospitals won't allow him to practice within their walls. He's been sued for malpractice more than 20 times. He was publicly reprimanded by the State Board of Healing Arts for failing to disclose malpractice suits to a hospital where he was treating patients. And Jay Nixon tried to keep his identity from us, and it has been brought. And everything that one would think of why you're trying to hide this has come to light. And he's also an admitted dyslexic.
admitted dyslexic, even though a subsequent article, he said, well, he's not really dyslexic. He just has problems with numbers. And, okay.
You spell dyslexia with the S, okay? It's still dyslexia. All right, let's go through some of this timeline, because it's really an interesting story of the incestuousness of politics sometimes, and about, like earlier what we were talking about, how people don't care about what happens in the Department of Corrections. There are no standards because people don't care. And 1969, this guy graduates from medical school, and he works as a surgeon on a contract for the Department of Corrections. So from the very beginning of his career as an employed adult, he starts with the Department of Corrections. But then in 1989, he advises corrections officials on lethal injections as the state of Missouri resumes executions after 24 years. And then shortly thereafter, Jamala?
Well, I just want to say about the lethal injection piece, mm-hmm. because one of the things that came out in the depositions around the Michael Taylor challenge is that when the state of Missouri got ready to do their protocol, there was no consulting of medical personnel. But then we found out that, yes, he was one of the consultants, but it makes me think that they still discounted him as a medical personnel because they did not have any anesthesiology present to say, here's the amount of dosage. He basically, out of his head, determined what the dosage would be.
Well, how about this? Maybe they knew that if they revealed who he was, then people would do background checks on him and then would raise some questions about why he's there.
Exactly. And I think the fact that he came straight out of med school to work at a prison and stay there speaks a little bit. And that's not to say that people are somehow underqualified or underexperienced because they work at a prison. It's just that if that's your only point of reference and is in a situation where people don't care about the folks who are inside, then you tend to develop that same kind of philosophy. And so,
or you know what, I would ask this question, Jamala. Is this a George Bush graduation from medical school? Okay,
well,
because maybe he's working there because no one else would hire him because of his performance in med school.
That could be. So this man tries to get a position at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Well, man, before let's do the 1995 one, because I think that this was a point that people should have seen his competency if you were following this at all. In 1995, he revises execution procedure after a problem with the condemned vein leads to a 30-minute execution. And then he becomes, after that fiasco, he gets a promotion. He becomes the permanent contractor for Corrections Department. That's like almost just like it's like a made-for-TV movie that Dr. Death gets a promotion after a botched execution. They ended up sticking a needle in this guy's thumb to pump some drugs into him. And that was his idea, to stick it in the thumb. Now, I'm sure there are doctors that are listening right now that are just cringing at the, and anesthesiologists that are cringing at this. What do you mean he just stuck it in his thumb and pumped some stuff into him until he died? And he got a promotion after this.
And this was a case of Emmett Foster, and it was definitely a botched case. And it because at that point you really didn't even know who it was, so therefore you couldn't have known that he got a promotion.
There you go.
So here we are. We're now getting all this information, and a lot of the things that were done are now making a lot of sense. They make a lot of sense.
And it's chilling. It's really chilling that you get a promotion after a 30-minute, it took 30 minutes for them to kill this man.
They were sticking him every kind of which way.
And they ended up with his thumb. They just stuck some drugs. Put it in his thumb. Mm-hmm. Just put it in his thumb.
Put it somewhere. People are looking at us. Because I think that was one of the ones that they had to literally whisk the gurney out of view because it was such a mess. And, you know, you got witnesses looking glass window. And they finally just whisked him around.
Didn't they pull the curtain on that one, too, so people
couldn't
see? Yeah, I mean,
they did something to keep people from looking because folks were just horrified looking at, well, what are they doing in there? And we now find
And they're probably
out.
People still under therapy for having witnessed something as awful as that. Let me get to a caller or two here. Welcome. You're on Justice for Reggie.
Hi, Jamala. Erling Thomas here. Keep up the good job.
Thank you.
I'd like to know in this time of elections, are there any of the major candidates that who've been discussed and running ads who have actively, over a period of time, worked with the Justice for Reggie? Because that's certainly, you know, an ongoing battle and not just something people should worry about. So have any of them, can you name any of the politicians who are running who've worked with you?
Right off the bat, Yaphet El Amin, has worked with the campaign. The first ward was one of the first, wards who allowed us to come in to make a presentation at the official ward meeting, and to get signatures. And also, she has been fighting for, a moratorium. Also, Rodney Hubbard, has made himself available for anything that we need to do. So those are the two that come to mind right away. And I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but I those two come to mind right away.
Okay, but so even while people have been running, those who call themselves committed Christians and all these kind of things, you've not heard from this so-called committed Christian?
No, no.
Who is an attorney?
No.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
All
right, Erling. And I think that's one of the things that we do at the Urban Institute. We talk about how we ask where people are on particular issues and what their record is on particular issues. We will be back. We have to take a break now. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 8:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Now and then, a politician comes along whom people trust and respect.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson.
I am Richard Dockett. On Tuesday, August the 8th, we urge you to support Sammy Colquitt for State Representative in the 72nd District. That includes parts of University City, Wellston, and Pagedale.
We're working hard to make Sandy State Representative, because she has earned our confidence and deserves a chance to be our voice in Jefferson City.
If quality health care, stable neighborhoods, and a solid education system are issues you value, then we challenge you to join us in voting for Sandy Colquitt.
Sandy will make us proud, and it's our job to make her your state representative of the 72nd Legislative District.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. I'm Liz Brown. And we are talking about the extraordinary case of Dr. Alan Dorhoff, the man that Jay Nixon has allowed to... Jamala, is this murder? I mean, you know, I'm not asking it as a legal question, just as a moral question. How do you characterize the permission from the highest law enforcement office in the state to let a failed doctor, a doctor that has been reprimanded by his office, by Jay Nixon's office, can't practice medicine in the state of Missouri? You allow him to execute people. Is that murder? I mean,
well, probably not under the state of Missouri, where the death penalty is the law right now.
Mm.
So it's, and I've heard people say that. Well, what difference does it make how they die, if they're going to die anyway? And I said that's because we have protections under the Constitution.
Well, I could say that right before I murdered somebody. We all going to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what difference does it make how we die? Because every single one of us is going to die.
Yeah. But I think when you have people who are supposed to be responsible, who are supposed to be accredited, acting in this manner, one, he lied under oath about his past. He was going to be a expert witness for a case in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and in the deposition he lied, saying that he had no prior privileges revoked. And of course, once they found out, the case just kind of fell apart.
Well, and he's
a liar, you know.
But we also have to underscore the reason why the case fell apart, because he was testifying on behalf of a plaintiff. He was the plaintiff's expert witness. And so this poor woman who was claiming to suffer medical malpractice, they had to dismiss the case because their expert witness that they were going to put on the stand lied.
Exactly.
So think about the harm that he caused to her family with his willingness to lie. And you get paid to be an expert witness. So he wasn't doing this out of charity. He wanted that money.
Right, right. So all up and down the line, this man has issues and issues and issues, and he's being paid for with our tax dollars.
And we're going to get to another caller here. Senator Bass, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Two of my favorites. I'm calling because at one time I was the chairman of the Joint Committee on Correction,
okay, which
includes the House and the Senate. And I am appalled this morning to hear this uncovering of the deficiencies of the medical person that was responsible for administering these acts. And I think that some of the families that have lost a loved one, that I see some means of legal retribution by challenging the sovereignty of the state. And there are just so many culprits in there. Our governor hasn't said anything about it.
And what about, what do you, how do you assess the role of Jay Nixon in this, Senator Bass?
Well, naturally, I would have to put him in the same situation that he's our general counsel, and he should be the first one out of the box to defend or tell the community something.
And, Senator, along that line, then we should be hearing from Jay Nixon a criticism of this. We should be hearing from Jay Nixon a sense of appall. We should be hearing from Jay Nixon some kind of fury about, what do you mean you couldn't practice medicine anywhere in the state? Shouldn't we be hearing that from him?
Oh, I think we should be hearing from him, the governor, and all of the administrative persons responsible, even from the Committee on Corrections. Liz, I want to just point out one other occurrence that's similar. While I was head of the Department of Welfare and at the medium security institution, we had a doctor, and I think it was Ed Jones, and on the front page of the Post-Dispatch, he had an article that an inmate asked him for some medication to go to sleep because he was tossing and turning, and he said that he had never seen a black man that couldn't sleep, and it wasn't 24 hours before we fired him. Mm-hmm. Not only fired him for the statement, but he would have been ambushed if had he been went back to the institution, because that was a racial slur, and not only that, it just was the same kind of thing that we are facing here with Alan, and I hope that we get enough calls, or that Jay Nixon comes out of his hole and explain to
our
community.
That's a beautiful point. That's a very beautiful point. Thank you so much, Senator Bass.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Have a great day. Stay cool. Now, see, I love that idea by Senator Bass, and let's get to some of the things that the Justice for Reggie, what the organization is doing, because that sounds like something that people need to be on.
And that was one of the first things that somebody asked me. So I know it's going to be a class action suit for all of these people who were murdered under Dr. Death's watch, and I think that's something that those families will have to pursue, but definitely we know that in these last six executions that the dosage was changed, which means that those people in particular, had some horrible deaths. And so I think there definitely is enough there for some kind of action, some kind of reaction from us as a community and from the families whose loved ones were put through that.
But also in terms of forcing these people that want to get job promotions based on the backs of the people that they have killed, shouldn't there be some kind of uncovering, as Senator Bass suggested, of Jay Nixon and revelation to the community about, look at what this, and this is the same guy that says you can't tell from the statistics whether racial profiling is going on at all,
right.
But you go to these municipalities, see a number of black folks and white municipalities, but you can't tell from statistics whether or not racial profiling is going on. Shouldn't there be some kind of just exposure of Jay Nixon?
No, and people should call him. People should call and say, why did you sign off on this man, knowing what his credentials were, knowing that he has a history of lying and malpractice and lying about his malpractice, and why would you waste any energy trying to conceal his identity? I mean, here's somebody that...
Why did you keep this from us? You are the chief law enforcement officer. This man was committing a crime. Why did you keep it from us?
Yeah, and so not only did he allow him to continue, but he covered for him. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's
acting with another. That's
the complicity that I'm talking about. And so he's just as guilty of Dr. Dierdorf's acts as Dr. Dierdorf himself. And so I think all along the line, now everybody's trying to distance themselves. I mean, you got Kemper who heads up the Department of Correction. Well, I didn't know. He was there when I came, and certainly I didn't know about his credentials.
Well,
somebody that's carrying on that kind of a role for the state, you had no inclination to be concerned?
Let's just say you didn't know. Jay knew.
Yeah. Jay definitely knew.
Let's get to some of the opportunities that people have out here.
We got a few activities coming up this month. The Know Your Rights workshop had to be rescheduled because of the storm. It is now going to be Monday, August 21st, 6 to 9 p.m.
It's free,
but you need to register so we know how many people to prepare for.
And refreshments will be served. You need to call 367-5959 to reserve your spot. Know your rights. Know what you're supposed to. If they please stop you, search your home. You need to know what your rights are, so be there. That's August 21st, 6 to 9 at the Rowan Community Center. Information 367-5959.
And then we have one more showing of the bridge murders from the A&E TV segment of the American Justice. That will be Monday, August 28th at Legacy Books, and we'll be announcing that again. And then we know that we're trying to collect 35 signatures for Reggie Clemens, who turns 35, and we'll have a birthday party for him.
35,000
signatures for his 35th birthday, and we'll be celebrating that on August 31st.
And we'll be talking more about
and
that.
And we definitely will be talking. But meanwhile, you got some events coming up. You need to go down to the Black Expo with your board, with your petitions, and check out the forum there. I definitely will be there. And just keep the momentum going, because if it was not for us, I doubt if we would know who Dr. Dierdorf is.
Fact.
So, you know, we got an inside-outside strategy going. We need to keep the pressure on.
Absolutely. Jamala, thank you so much.
See you next Thursday.
Thank you. In the next hour, we're going to interview Amber Boykins. We have an election coming up on August 8th. You don't want to miss that. So stay with us. We'll be back.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is in the witness chair this hour as the Senate Armed Services Committee holds a public hearing on the war in Iraq.
We can persevere in Iraq, or we can withdraw prematurely until they force us to make a stand nearer home. But make no mistake, they're not going to give up, whether we acquiesce in their immediate demands or not.
Turning now to the Middle East crisis, British Prime Minister Tony Blair hopes for a UN resolution within days.
This is obviously a very critical time. I think it is, as I say, coming together now. I think the remaining differences are very slight over the resolution that can be put down.
Israeli tanks are blasting targets in southern Lebanon, while more than 200 Hezbollah rockets pounded Israel. Civilians in both countries are trying to survive as best they can. ABC's Kate Snow reports from a school-turned-shelter in Beirut.
For 23 days, hundreds of refugees from villages in other parts of southern Lebanon have been living in this school. They say no one has been here recently to give them any food.
The State Department, meanwhile, says the major effort to evacuate Americans out of Lebanon has, for the most part, ended. Message to the eastern part of the country, drink lots of water and take it easy. The super heat wave has one more day before it breaks up tonight. This Washingtonian finds it hard not to complain.
Just like being under a hot air blower. Just atrocious. Very hard to breathe, too.
And don't forget about Tropical Storm Chris over the eastern Caribbean.
People still should be aware that Chris is out there and could re-strengthen. It's possible. And just be aware of the track and keep an eye on the forecast in the next several days.
Michael Brennan at the National Hurricane Center. And a lot of people are going to be forking over dollar bills in the hopes of hitting it big. There was no big winner in last night's Powerball drawing, so Saturday night's jackpot will be about $204 million.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting organized? Number three, the only space in my bedroom is on my bed, and I'm not giving that up. Number two, I should be able to fit at least one car in the two-car garage. And number one, getting organized just got a lot easier.
Organize your home for less at the Home Depot Summer Storage Event. From garage storage systems to adjustable bookshelves to the latest colorful totes and accessories, it's storage as decor at special prices. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
News is scant out of Cuba about Fidel Castro and his recovery from intestinal surgery. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is following from Miami.
Since the handover of power in Cuba, Fidel Castro and his replacement, Raul, have kept out of sight. Cuba's parliamentary speaker says Fidel Castro is very alive and very alert, but until people here see him or his brother, they refuse to believe it.
Whatever they're saying that is coming out from the government about his health, I would trust that maybe 10%, because 90% are lies.
The U.S. may be planning for transition. Cuban-American congressmen here expect announcements soon about changes in U.S. immigration policy for Cuba. Aaron Kuchersky, ABC News, Miami.
A minor cleanup is wrapping up this morning in the San Francisco Bay Area after last night's earthquake. It hit a magnitude 4.4, and an hour later there was a magnitude 2 aftershock. No serious damage reported, mostly a lot of pictures dropping from walls. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, police are still looking for suspects in a fatal stabbing south of downtown St. Louis. A 42-year-old man was found in an alley early yesterday morning in the 3400 block of McKean. The victim had suffered chest and neck wounds. Police haven't released his name. Lambert Airport officials are looking into whether poor maintenance caused some of the main terminal's backup generators to fail after the July 19 storms. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the generators hadn't undergone a full load test since 2003. Three of the terminal's eight generators failed the night of the storms. They've since been repaired. Finally this hour, the newest addition to the St. Louis Zoo is doing well and busy exploring her new surroundings. Martha Fisher, the curator of mammals at the zoo, says it may be a few weeks before the public can see the new baby elephant.
We want to try to get Ellie and the baby first and foremost bonded with each other, and we definitely want to try to get the herd back together, to rejoin her with Ronnie and C and Donna. And then when the herd is comfortable together, we will allow them back out in the exhibit yard.
Fisher says the new baby doesn't have a name, and the public will be asked to help name the 341-pound calf. This is the first child for 13-year-old Raja and the second for 34-year-old Ellie. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your Chrysler dealer. With Chrysler, experience the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Chrysler vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryantmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, all roadways are reopened after an earlier tractor-trailer fire. Traffic still at Union and jamming through. Southbound 255 at Highway 3, that accident's been cleared. Some residual delays are expected. Westbound 70 at Grand, look for an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are closed. The only other traffic tie-up at this hour is westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays due to paving operations. Left lane's closed and traffic still backed up at 4th Street. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Hugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, hot, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Chance of showers high in the mid-90s. The heat index will be around 102 by early this afternoon. This evening, cooler, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy overnight. Chance for showers low around 70. Friday and Saturday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy with a high around 90 on both days. Currently, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 82 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
This hour's Wake Up Call is sponsored by Friends for Amber Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and we're going to take a moment here to have a conversation with Amber Boykins, because this is the political season. We are a few days out of the election, and I wanted to provide people with an opportunity to, you've heard the spots, and you've heard me talking about politics in this election for some time now, but I think it's important, it's critical for people to hear from candidates in their own voices and give you an opportunity also to call in and to ask questions as well, because this four senatorial race is a critical race. This is my Senate race. It's personal and it's community of how important this race is. So let's begin. I want to start by thanking you, Amber Boykins. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
All right. All right. Well, let's just get down to it. One of the things that we do at the Urban Institute is we try to help people figure out what their political philosophies are and what they should be looking for in candidates. In fact, we're creating a candidate question card of what we need to ask every candidate so that we get consistency and get clarity on all of the candidates. And we talked for quite some time at the Urban Institute about
legislation. What is a candidate's legislative record, and how important is that? So can we start with, what is your legislative record? What kind of, because you've served for how long?
This is my eighth year.
Your eighth year. You've been in Jefferson City for 8 years. Talk to us about the legislation that you're most proud of.
Well, Liz, there's several pieces of legislation that I've passed in the General Assembly since I've been there. And the majority of the last portion of my legislative career has been in the minority. Mm-hmm. But I've been able to still pass some legislation.
When you say in the minority, what does that mean for our audience?
In the minority means that we are currently have a Republican governor, a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and they are the chairs of the committees. They are the chairman, and they have the majority votes on committees. So any piece of legislation, as it moves through the legislative process, goes to committee, and the committee votes on whether or not that piece of legislation will come to the floor. And even when it comes to the floor, they have the majority, the Republicans do, in the House and the Senate. So you still need their votes in order to pass any piece of legislation. And then to that end, the governor then has the decision of whether or not to sign it into law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you served both in the majority and in the minority. So talk to us about the legislation that you've been able to get passed.
Well, the one piece I want to talk about now is House Bill 564 that I passed, which was the license plate tab bill. Mm-hmm. And this piece of legislation came directly from my constituents that I serve. And that is what you need, a state rep and a state senator who's accessible, who hears their constituents' concerns, and then acts on them. And we had several conversations about license plate tabs being stolen and the license plates being tampered with. And so what I did was did some research and discovered what we could do about this. And what happened was I discovered that the victims of the crime would have to pay for the replacement of the tabs. So now this piece of legislation allows you two free sets of license tabs a year. And if you are pulled over because your plate has been cut or tampered with and you're given a citation by the police, that citation will be waived and those court costs and fees will be waived as well. And all you need to do is take your police report to the Department of Revenue and they will issue you two free sets of tabs a year. That's a piece of legislation that I recently passed, not this past legislative session, but the one before that. So many people don't know that it exists. And mm-hmm. what I'm finding when I'm out here talking and going door to door, making sure that they're informed and making sure they know that this piece of legislation is in effect.
And Amber, one of the things that again, we talk about it at the Urban Institute is the significance of legislation being passed. How important is it that a legislator think of the idea of the legislation, get the legislation written, get it introduced, and get it passed? And how difficult is that? And are there legislators out there that have been legislating that have never gotten legislation passed before?
It is very important that your legislator is able to get legislation through the process.
And then we're going to hold that thought because we have to take a break. So when we come back, we'll finish this piece on a conversation about the importance of this and the difficulty of it. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I am talking to Amber Boykins, candidate for the 4th Senatorial District. We will be back. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, indeed are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? You need a tractor? You need a, how about a lawnmower? How about you just need to be treated right and have great deals? Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. You will experience the trifecta of the shopping experience. That's great quality. That's great location, and that is great customer service. My name is Liz Brown. When you go and get your shop on at Sears, you tell them I told you to.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047.
Okay.
Phil Person Roofing,
we'll talk about that
602-1047.
This is Representative Amber Holly Boykins, candidate for State Senate 4th District. For 8 years, I have fought to protect funding for public education while sponsoring legislation that moves our district towards full accreditation. My strong commitment to our children has earned me the endorsement of AFT Local 420 Teachers Union and the Missouri Association of School Administrators. Other legislators sponsor legislation supporting charter schools and vouchers. I will continue to protect public education. August 8th, fill in number 26 for Amber Holly Boykins.
Paid for by Friends of Amber H. Boykins. Pam Butler, Treasurer.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This hour's wake-up call is sponsored by Amber... Friends for Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to our discussion. I'm Liz Brown, and this is about elections coming up on August 8th. We're talking to Amber Holly Boykins. She's a candidate for the Missouri Senate, 4th Senatorial District. And Amber, on our way out, we were talking about getting legislation passed, how important that is, what it takes to make that happen, and is everybody successful in getting legislation passed?
No, everyone is not successful, but I've been successful. I know the legislative process. I know how to move legislation through the House as well as the Senate and see it through to its completion. And that's critical when you're looking for your next state senator. I think that's important because you can go to Jefferson City and say you're going to do a number of things, but if you don't have the ability to move legislation or get appropriations through the appropriation process, then your people do not get served, and public policy is not passed that impacts your community, or dollars and programs are not funded in your area. So that is critical, and I've been able to do that. I've been able to, you know, work across the aisle. We disagree on many issues that impact our community. But on those that I felt were most important to the constituency I serve, I've had some support across the aisle, and that's critical and key in this time when we have a Republican governor, Republican House, and Senate.
And this piece of legislation that you got passed with that pertaining to license plates and people getting their tags cut, saving people money and a little bit of heartache, was that a particularly challenging piece for you to get passed? Or was there anything going on in your life at that point that made it particularly challenging to get that piece of legislation passed?
It was some things going on, Liz. Many know and some don't know that at the time that I passed that piece of legislation, my mother was currently very, very sick. At the time, she had already experienced two incidents where she had went into two diabetic comas, and we were in Jefferson City at the time. And
your mother was here in St. Louis?
No, she was in Jefferson City with me. And so we made the decision at that time to move her here to St. Louis, here with me. So when I'm here in St. Louis, I would be able to take care of her as well. And it just so happens the last week of that 05 legislative session, she became very ill again, and we rushed her to the hospital, and she remained in the hospital from the time that Sunday before we went into session all the way through the last week of session, and I was by her bedside. She was in the intensive care unit, and so I was in St. Louis with her, and she was very, very ill. We almost lost her. And I just thank God that she is here with me today, and she is alive. And I made that decision, and I was here in St. Louis. So I wanted everybody to know exactly where I was the last week of session in 05, mm-hmm. not 06. Mm-hmm. This is the legislative session in 05, and I was here at the hospital with her, and everyone in the General Assembly knew where I was, from leadership on down, because we have a responsibility to the constituency that we serve and to the people that we serve. And I wanted to make sure that they knew exactly what was happening. So all of this information was reported to the leadership in the House and in the Senate,
and the Black Caucus.
And also to the minority whip, which is Representative Connie Johnson. Mm-hmm. It's her job to know where we are. So everyone knew, and they sent well wishes to us while mm-hmm. she was in the hospital. So I wanted to be very clear where I was.
So because we've heard there are people out there that are making the suggestion that there is a pattern, or that at least they're implying that given the fact that these votes were missed, that there is a pattern of you missing votes on critical pieces of legislation. Could you walk us through your 8-year term and tell us about that in terms of your votes?
Well, that's the only time that I have missed votes. And many may not know that during the last week of session, we can pass 300 to 400 bills very quickly,
mm-hmm.
From consent bills to other pieces of pieces of legislation.
So you're saying that, like, during the last week of session compared to, like, the third week of session, there's not a whole lot of things to vote on.
It's not a lot going on. You're moving through the budget process. People are introducing bills, having some committee hearings, but it's not a lot of legislation being voted on.
Mm-hmm.
The critical time is the last week of session when we have about 300 or 400 bills that move through the General Assembly at that time. So you can miss a lot of votes if you're not there the last week. But I challenge and encourage everyone to look at my legislative record over the past 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and you will see where I have been, how I've voted, and how I have been a representative of the constituency of the 60th district.
And I guess in terms of assessing that if you look at, you're supposed to look at the body as a whole in terms of assessing
correct.
The record. So let's look at the body as a whole and go through some more of the legislation that you have been able to get passed.
Another piece of legislation that I did was for the women of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority and the men of Omega Psi Phi. They currently have specialized license plates. But the key to this piece of legislation is this, is that the monies that they pay for those license plates go into scholarship funds for those organizations, which then in turn are given to our children in our community for them to attend institutions of higher learning.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been able to significantly provide great amounts of funding.
So this hadn't been done before, that organizations weren't, I mean, people hadn't thought to, well, if we're going to have these personalized plates, why don't we put the money someplace that's dedicated
right.
and special?
It's a dedicated fund source for those organizations, and they can utilize those funds to provide scholarships. So that is going on now, and our children are benefiting and attending universities due to that funding. So we have that in place. I've also passed Apprentice for Barbers bill, which allows them to become apprentice under a barber supervisor. Those individuals who don't have funding in order to go to school to get their barber license can now train up under a barber supervisor, which that was critical because you have young men and women out here who have a desire to have a skill, could not afford to go to a school, but now can apprentice under an apprentice supervisor. And that's not only in the city of St. Louis, that's across the state that this has an impact. So this legislation has significantly helped individuals not here, only here in the city of St. Louis, but across the state.
And if we examine that a little bit closer, you're saving people money, people that don't have funding to go to school. You are, and particularly within the community of African descent, cutting hair and doing hair is a big business.
Right.
So that's an opportunity now that they didn't have before.
Right. Right, and I also did a piece of legislation that those barbers that are now licensed, that have allowed their barber's license to lapse for whatever reason, can now reapply, become taxpaying citizens again, and can start providing for their families again.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the pieces of legislation that I've done in the past, but I also have been able to have an impact on this community through the appropriations process. I currently sit on the budget committee. I am a ranking member on the Appropriations, Transportation, and Economic Development Committee, where this past legislative session, we worked, those members of my committee with MoDOT to make sure that the I-40/64 project had job training and minority participation. And they willingly said, Representative, no problem. That is what we're going to do. And so we worked very hard in a bipartisan effort to make sure that MoDOT had that that inclusion on that project. And now there is a significant amount of funding, $2.5 million, that's allocated for job training and programs that a number of community partners are partnering, small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, Youth Build, a number of organizations, MCU, on that particular project. Also, I helped secure the funding for the $1 million for the offender reentry program. We have a lot of individuals coming out of prison, coming into our community with no job skills, no housing, no treatment services. And so this is a pilot project that no other city in the state of Missouri has. And so the St. Louis is the only city that has this. And so we'll be working to make sure that that program is comprehensive and that the right organizations are working with the city of St. Louis and the state to make sure that it's successful.
And we have 1 minute before we have to take another break. Amber, I like hearing about the money piece of it, bringing money back into our community. But if you can take 30 seconds to just give us kind of an idea of the legislation that you're most proud of.
Well, two pieces of legislation that I introduced this past legegislative session, House Bill 1817 and House Bill 1932, which directly impacts our children and the St. Louis public school districts as well as those school districts around the whole state. So I'd love to talk to you about those and my plans to get those through the legislative process.
And our number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. We are having a conversation this morning with Amber Holly Boykins, Democrat for the state senator seat in the 4th Senatorial District. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for state senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margo Deloge, treasurer.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for state representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Fill in 38.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak.
This hour's portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by Friends for Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
How much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this discussion. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking with Amber Holly Boykin. She's running for the state senatorial seat for the 4th Senatorial District, Democrat in the state of Missouri. And Amber, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We were talking about legislation that you're proud of, legislation that you brought, legislation that has brought money to the community. We were talking off air about one, and I want to hear some more about this dumping in the alley piece. What did you do?
Liz, I was able to secure funding for a program with the Department of Natural Resources to place cameras in alleys and on sites where we were experiencing.
We meaning we in the city?
We
here?
In the city mm-hmm. of St. Louis.
North St. Louis, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the city of St. Louis was experiencing just a number of individuals illegally dumping in our community. So we were able to secure some funding, and it's very expensive to have these cameras. However, they did come down, and they were placed. No one knew where they were placed throughout the community, and we were able to catch those individuals coming into our community and illegally dumping. Mm. And so I'm very committed to securing some additional funding so we can continue that program. That was a program that I believe that is still very much needed in the city of St. Louis and in our area. And then, too, to send a signal and a message to those individuals who believe that the city of St. Louis is a dumping ground, mm-hmm. that you will be prosecuted and you will go to jail.
And you have
and
to pay
we
some
did
money.
That, and you're going to pay some fines.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do that in our community.
This organ donor bill, talk to us about that.
The living organ donor bill that I passed was came to me directly with the situation with my mother. We were blessed to have individual donate their organ, their heart to my mother so that she can live, and that's why she's here. So I passed a piece of legislation that now allows state employees, if they become living organ donors or bone marrow donors, receive paid time off from work to do this, and it's to encourage those individuals to actually be living organ donors and also be bone marrow donors. This impacts many African Americans as well as Caucasians throughout our community, and so I wanted to make sure that if there was a way for us to be able to have an impact where organs are being donated, then we could do that with this particular piece of legislation if you're a state employee.
And we had talked a little bit before the last break about the legislation that you are most proud of.
It's so many, Liz,
mm-hmm.
that and any piece of legislation that I sponsor or co-sponsor or pass is very dear because it's representation of the constituency that I serve and has an impact on the people that I serve. But I wanted to talk about legislation that I've sponsored that we were trying to move through the legislative process this past legislative session, and that's House Bill 1871, which is the parent tutors and volunteer bill, which encourages those individuals to volunteer in our school district, and they in turn would receive scholarships to attend public universities here in the state. And I'm very proud of that piece of legislation. I will continue to promote and push that piece of legislation, as well as House Bill 1932, which sets up incentives for those individuals that are teaching in our school district that are non-certified to become certified teachers. Because the goal is here, Liz, is to make sure that our school district is providing a quality education to our children, and then making sure that we are also moving towards full accreditation. And so all the legislation and initiatives that I've done is moving our district towards that.
And in talking about the schools, because that is a very, very critical, crucial issue, let me ask you a couple of questions. Your position on vouchers.
Liz, I am opposed to tax credits, vouchers, and charter schools. And we fought this piece of legislation this past legislative session in the General Assembly. And as your next day senator, I'll continue to fight against any attempts to divert monies from our public school system and take and give to other entities. I think we need to make sure that every possible dollar is going to help fund the education for our children, and I will fight any attempts to divert those funds from the public education system.
Now, a lot of times people in attempting to get elected or reelected, they talk about the types of endorsements that they have. And since we're talking about education, have you received any endorsements from any kind of educational organizations out there that could indicate to some your commitment or your connection to the issue of education?
I have received the endorsement of Local 420, the Teachers Union, as well as the Missouri School Administrators Union, which is the administrators from across the state. They both have endorsed me, and they have witnessed my commitment to making sure that every dollar goes into fund public education, and my strong stance on quality education for our children, and that's why I've received their endorsement.
Okay, so and when we talk about the issue of education and the issue of quality schools and no vouchers and no charter schools, let's talk about the city of St. Louis in particular. I know that I saw you at the last school board meeting about what's going on with our board. In the last election, what was your position on the people that ran? Did you have a opinion or an endorsement of any of the candidates that ran for election on the last board?
I did, and early on, I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Peter Downs and Donna Jones, as well as an organization that I am a member of, the Black Women's Political Action Coalition, which is made up of African-American women, state reps, and senators, and it's six of us. And we interviewed and had many conversations with all of the candidates, and we chose to support Peter Downs and Donna Jones because we thought that they were the best candidates for our school and for our children, for our school district and our children.
And do you currently support the board majority that is at the St. Louis Public Schools?
I do, because it was elected by the people.
Mm-hmm.
The people have elected that board majority, and they've been elected, and we need to support them and allow them to get our school ready for opening day on August 28th and continue to move this district to full accreditation.
Now, I know that you have all of the candidates out here have been very busy about running their elections, and sometimes you do some stuff and sometimes you're not able to do some stuff. Have you been able to find time in your day or your schedule to take some time out to meet the new superintendent and to talk to the new superintendent or acting superintendent? Have you been able to do that?
I've met her. I just saw her at the school board meeting, and we have set up an opportunity for us to have some conversation after August 8th.
And then why? Why is that? Why did you feel that it was important for you to have a conversation with the new acting board superintendent?
Because I supported Dr. Craig Williams as our superintendent, and we had many conversations, and I needed to know from him directly what his vision was for our school district, and then, too, how I could help him in his role as a superintendent and what we needed to be doing in the state to help him do what he needed to do. And so it's going to be important for me to have that same conversation, because she is our new superintendent with the new superintendent. So I plan to do just that. And as I stated, I supported Dr. Craig Williams, and I'll be having a conversation with her as well.
So let's go back to legislation, and we have a few minutes before we have to take another break. Have there been any pieces of legislation that, you know, you've been kind of disappointed with?
Yes, Liz. Senate Bill 1014, which is the voter ID bill, was very disappointing. We passed this past legislative session, and it's just a bad piece of legislation, and it disenfranchises many and keeps them from participating and voting, and it's just horrible. And we attempted to try to, I know in the House, to amend the bill. We stood up and spoke against it on the House floor. Every attempt was stopped by the Republican leadership in the House. And so now we have this bill, and it's incumbent upon us to begin to inform and engage our constituency about it.
You know, and Amber, just as an aside here, it's just been so quiet with the effort to inform the community about the changes that have come down because Matt Blunt signed off on this bill. Are you at all concerned about the fact that our seniors don't know.
I'm very concerned, and that's why I've made it a priority of mine to go around and inform seniors at block unit meetings, ward meetings, community meetings about what this bill does. And we're finding that they are not prepared. They don't have their birth certificates.
I know.
They can't get them timely. And
we're 60 days outside of the November election when this legislation takes place.
That's correct.
And we haven't heard from anybody about how we're going to connect our seniors to the process. It's going to take more than 60 days for some of our seniors to get their birth certificate.
The poor, the disabled, all of these individuals are impacted by this bill to try to disenfranchise over 170,000 people. I cannot stand by and quietly watch this occur. I've been vocal. I stood up on the House floor.
You were there for the vote.
I was there, yes. This was a critical vote. I needed to be there to make sure that my constituency's vote was represented. And so we'll be out in the community, and I have been making sure that we inform and get these individuals the much-needed identification to participate in the process in November.
If people want to participate in your campaign, if people want to contribute to your campaign or work with your campaign or get a yard sign, what number do they call?
314-361-5060.
One more time?
361-5060.
I'll be back with this conversation with Amber Holly Boykins. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday in the 9:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the
engineer would move. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by Friends for Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Hello, morning. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 454-0400, revolution at lizbrown.com. And we are having a conversation this morning. We're talking politics. We're talking local politics. All politics is local. We're talking to candidate Amber Holly Boykin. She's running for the 4th senatorial seat. And, Amber, it seems like every time we get off the air, you come up with all of these other pieces of legislation that you have been responsible for. So run through a few of them, because we have about 6 minutes left here. So run through some of the run through a few of them that we were talking about off the air. The obesity piece, the scholarship piece with Boeing. Talk to us about some of those.
I was also able to secure about $250,000 for obesity programs throughout the St. Louis region that is currently being utilized in communities to try to impact and change some of the lifestyle that we have in our community and reduce some of the conditions that plague us. And so I have funded obesity programs since being on the budget committee and utilizing the Office of Minority Health to do that. I've also participated in making sure that funding comes to state maintained roads, like, for example, Natural Bridge. The state now maintains that road, not the city of St. Louis. So if you're wondering why you can smoothly drive down Natural Bridge, I had to stand on a table to make sure that certain streets were included in that plan, but we got it done. And now the state maintains that road and not the city of St. Louis, which now frees up thousands of dollars in capital improvement projects for the city of St. Louis. We talked a little bit about the new leaders program, and early on I had discussions with the St. Louis Public Schools and the University of Missouri about things that the university could do better and how do we keep our children here in the St. Louis area and attend publicly funded institutions. And Mizzou was one of the institutions that said, okay, Representative, we hear you. And now they have a program that brings juniors and seniors up to their university every year. So they are exposed to higher education. And they also made a commitment to begin to have a what is called a New Leaders Project, where they have school principals that are in training are now mentored by those particular principals. It's like 32 of them that they've identified in our schools in the St. Louis public school system, that so when they come out of the program, they will be ready and certified to be principals in our district. And it's in conjunction with Boeing and some other corporate sponsors have now begun to come up to the plate. But this is critical. This is a critical piece too, because this directly impacts our children and our ability to provide a quality education in our district to become accredited.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm talking to Amber Holly Boykin. She's a Democrat running for the Missouri Senate. I want to run to a couple of callers here if we can get to some folks and their questions. Alfred, you have a quick question for Amber Holly Boykin.
Would she be opposed to letting the public vote on the voucher situation? And one more question. Have you talked to some of the people that send their children to the charter schools? Most people I know that send, well, all of them say that they were so glad, they was lucky to get their children out of the public schools into the charter schools.
Thank you for your observation,
okay.
Alfred, and we're going to share that question with Amber. He asked the question of would you be willing to enter or to would you support legislation that put the issue of vouchers to the public, and also his observation about the success of charter schools, that he has friends that have put their kids in charter schools and they've been happy with charter schools.
No, I have not heard from those individuals, but I welcome them the opportunity to share that conversation with me about their experiences with the charter school system. So the only information I've gotten is how they're not any better than the public school system.
Oh, they're underperforming.
And that they're not providing the education that they thought they would. So I welcome those calls. And they can.
And Amber, if I can interrupt you just for a second, don't we also have to evaluate charter schools on the amount of money that they take out of public schools? Because charter schools aren't free. Nothing in government is free. So money is coming from somewhere to fund them. And if schools are, as you say, if they're not doing better than our public schools, and in many cases they've been doing worse because in Kansas City they've been closed down, then don't we have to factor that in as our assessment of whether or not it is fiscally responsible to continue to do this?
That is correct. So as you stated, I welcome any conversation or any constituent that wants to call and share their experience with the charter school. And I am supportive of putting it to the vote of the people to determine whether or not they want vouchers. I have no problem with that.
But isn't the challenge in that is making certain that people understand what the question
You have to understand what is a voucher, what is a tax credit, and what is a charter school.
And also the fiscal tag.
That is correct.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to one more caller here. Ben.
Yes.
Yes, Ben, you have a question for Amber Boykin.
Yes, I do. First of all, I'd like to commend Ms. Boykin for what she did during these very, very hot days out here. I saw her and Palm and Jones and Jones King and a number of other people out there just making sure that these people got to these cool sites and passing out things that we needed. Ms. Boykin, what's the first thing that you would do if you take office and support as the senator of the 4th District, and how could you, you know, this school system that we got, this thing is frightening everybody. I have children in the public school system, and I don't know which way to turn. We've got these people that are in here now, and we're not real real comfortable with them. I'm sure the whole city of St. Louis is sharing my same concerns about this. What would you do when you take office? What's the first thing that that you would do
We got that. Thank you, Ben. The first thing that you would do when you took office, what would be your priority? When you hit the floor running and this after being elected to the state Senate, what's the first thing that you
Education
do?
Is the first thing, as you stated, that I would address, like I've been doing as your state representative. I'll continue to support public policy and support funding for our public school system to make sure that our children, as I stated, get a quality education, to work with the current school board that we have to ensure that we are ready to go on August the 28th, and I'm going to do that as your state representative. I don't need to be your senator to do that. I'm your current elected official to do that. So I think we need to make sure that we are focusing in on making sure our children are educated, as well as fighting for the cuts, the restoration of health care. Those 100,000 individuals that were cut off of health care, we were able to get some services restored on the budget committee. I sit on the budget committee, but we didn't get them all. And we need to provide a health care system that allows those that are underinsured, uninsured, and don't have insurance to be able to access health care. This past legislative session, we were able to put another $1 million into federally qualified health centers that would allow some of those individuals who've been cut off to access services at those fine institutions and places of ways of places that where they can provide health. So those are some of the things, but education, making sure that I continue the revitalization of this community, bringing dollars in through my economic development summits where I've given information to citizens about neighborhood preservation tax credits, and now we have one in every four homeowner participating in the program receiving that historic tax credits, making sure that those historic areas in the 4th Senatorial District can
Okay, cool. We only have 2 minutes here. Eminent domain. What's your position?
I am opposed to the taking of people's property for private use. I stood against that, and I'll continue to do so.
Death penalty.
I am opposed to the death penalty.
Reggie Clemens, have you been involved in that campaign?
Yes, I have been, and I even had petitions at the barbershop that we own on the corner of Lee and Shreve, and we had individuals able to sign on to the petition there at the barbershop that's been there for quite some time. So.
And in terms of this particular election, we have 1 minute left here, Amber. Give us a reason why people, because there are a lot of candidates in this race. There are a lot of folks that I've been raging about this horrible piece of legislation coming out from Jeff Smith about our community. Give us the reason why an individual should make the decision to vote for you.
I am the most experienced. I have the most legislative experience. I am the only candidate that has 8 years served in Jefferson City. I've been effective since I've been in Jefferson City. I've been able to pass legislation. I've been able to secure resources for this district. I've been a voice for the people of this area, and we need a strong, effective, efficient legislator in Jefferson City as your next state senator. I have a record of achievement as your state representative, and I have the experience, proven leadership you need in your next state senator.
And if people want to give you a call to get some yard signs replaced or to get some new yard signs.
Yes, because they have been coming up missing, but that's okay.
Give people your number.
It's 314-361-5060. And remember, everyone, please come out in record numbers on August the 8th. Fill in number 26 and send a proven, effective leader to Jefferson City, one that you can trust.
Are y'all doing rides to the polls?
Yes, we are. Rides to the poll, 361-5060. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Amber Holly Boykins, and I'm Liz Brown. It is Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Was shot and was killed tonight. This hour's portion of the Wake Up Call has been sponsored by Friends for Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop hearing the sound.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.